Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Here we are. You know, they're here, but their leader is not here.
Where is he?
Oh, there he is. There he is. Hey, they're going. They're calling for you.
Yeah, they're
going
to hit him up.
It's not a true story because a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart.
All right, you ready?
Discretion advised.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Such a Pretty Pony and all the shit to see. Wait till you hear what they done did. It's Don Geronimo and Mike. Whoa! Yeah.
Robbie, hello. Thank you for listening to everybody's Don and Mike show. This is a new one, a new episode on this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was distracted by his caller.
Wednesday, 10704.
Right.
And go ahead, say
go ahead, Fabian. Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
I'm pointing at you forgot to say hi, Buzz. And that's it. Welcome to the show. Here's your telephone number, 877-365-3636 from Canada. Please do always be calling 800-636-1067. And from Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Of course, as always, your calls are welcome on the show at any time, specifically during the phone scan segment.
Oh, my God.
Right. If anybody has a digital camera, now would be the time to enter the studio.
Hey, baby. I was just imitating Buzzy there.
Before and after.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How
Buzz,
are you?
Buzz has his collar up, much like a... like a rock star of the 50s.
Like Fonzie.
Buzz Fonzarelli.
Hey.
Hey, the camera.
Hey, here's the camera.
Hey.
Here's the digital camera. You just get that on the website. Get that right out to the fans.
Hold on, I have to set it up.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. More time with my shirt open.
So Buzz has a collarless shirt. It's actually...
It's a collar you can wear up or down, and I was wearing it up, but I forgot we were doing the show.
It's like one of those woolen pullover things.
Right.
And because of the collar, Mike started adjusting his collar...
And unbuttoning his shirt.
On his button-down shirt,
uh-huh.
And now he's getting his picture taken with his collar wide open.
All right, can I button up now?
No.
Now that the gag's over?
No.
No, Rob.
Four buttons down.
Rob doesn't wish me to. I see it?
I said it yesterday.
Here it is.
And I'll say it again today.
Uh-huh.
While Mike looks at his picture.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Right. Yeah. And welcome to the show. So go right to WJFK.com.
Yes.
See that beautiful photo of Mike.
Thank you.
Listen, here's the deal. Wow, we should be all over this, right? Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs, coach of the Redskins. Listen, Schneider.
Is that why you're wearing your Redskins sweatshirt, Rob?
They called me and asked my ring size today.
Ah, very good. Get that for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wanted to, too bad. I wanted to be the first to say, we're going to the bowl. I don't know all the details.
No, no one does. Really.
They're not going to announce it till tomorrow. No. I'll just say.
I hear they offered him 100% ownership.
I'll say this to my arch villain nemesis, Dan Snyder.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well done, little guy.
You've won this round.
Well done. Well done, little guy.
No one can argue with this decision.
No.
This is pretty
hire.
Amazing.
Yeah. Great hire for the Washington Redskins to hire Joe Gibbs. You know, the question that I have is who's going to be, between Joe Gibbs and Schneider?
Yeah, and is it going to be Joe Gibbs? That's what I want to know, if he's going to run the whole show.
That'd be fine with me. Or you get a general manager in there.
What we need.
Yeah. Whatever.
But here's the best part. Joe Bugle is coming back.
Yeah, all the
Bugs.
Just be careful. Now, Joe Gibbs, I know that we've not always had the best of relationships. I'm speaking now for both Mike and myself.
We've gotten a few dirty looks.
With Joe Gibbs. This is one good thing. When you've done a radio show in a market as long as Mike and I have here in Washington, 18 years, we're probably of this generation of broadcasters now on the air. We're probably the only guys who Joe Gibbs didn't like back when he was.
Right.
When he was becoming
sure.
Joe Gibbs. And even when he was winning the Super Bowls,
right.
He still didn't like us.
No, he you know, it really was more a look that we would get whenever we'd be in the same room with him.
Because there was a period of time when it was a fashionable thing to be on the show. It was before sports radio.
Right.
When we would have a ton of Redskins on our show all the time.
Right.
Right before the Redskins got real good, and there was a period of time when someone wrote something in the I think it was in the late Washington Times. Guy wrote a gigantic piece saying the only time you can find out anything about the Redskins is by listening to the Morning Zoo,
right?
Because none of these guys were doing interviews; they were all coming on the show and goofing around, and we would always goof about Gibbs with all of these players, and none of them would ever step up, so it was always just Mike and I talking about things that we'd been told about him or...
But that's not the real problem.
No.
The real problem is a little comedy sketch that we did years ago.
Oh, yes.
And here's the thing. We found out it got to him.
Wow.
That
this was the real reason he didn't like us.
It's a simple sketch.
We did a routine.
Yeah, just for fun.
A sketch.
A sketch that involved Joe Gibbs and Dan Reeves, back when Dan Reeves was the coach of the Denver Broncos.
In the hot tub.
And somehow they would agree to disagree, and they would have arguments, and they both sounded the same with their southern accents, and then they would end up being like in a hot tub together, liking each other's coaches' shorts,
commenting on prospective players,
right. And how they like their muscular thighs, and
how tight their buttocks were.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, you're talking now, late 80s,
right.
Back when this type of talk generally wasn't heard.
No, that's right, Don.
I don't know about the future of this quarterback you have, Mark Rippon, but I do know this, Coach Gibbs. That the shape of your calf muscles is enough to send me into a wishbone formation.
Well, Dan, let me take this opportunity then to turn on the bubbles so we can hop in together and enjoy a great afternoon in the hot tub. Nobody wears a pair of coach's shorts like you do.
Might I say that was an impressive victory by your team, and your mastery of the two-minute offense is great, but nothing is as good as watching you slip out of those NFL equipment Washington Redskins shorts to join me in the hot tub.
It's like riding a bike, isn't it? You don't jump right back in, and for now I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. That's what we did. That's all it was.
That's the bit.
But we did it a lot.
We did it, you know, yes. Quite a bit, and especially when the two teams would play each other.
And it was like the Larry King thing, that Larry King started off, although we really had no direct contact with Joe Gibbs. A couple of times we'd have him on the show, but always on the telephone. Larry King, for a while, was our friend, and then we started doing a bit about him and his daughter, and then, you know where it is with him now.
Yeah.
This thing with Joe Gibbs, the crystal moment for us was... The Redskins were, this was back in the day when they were winning the Super Bowls.
Right.
They had this Ronald McDonald charity thing, which at the time was their biggest charity deal of the year.
Mm-hmm. Our good friend George Michael hosted it.
Oh. Yeah, right. George, hey, Rob, a chance to pull that out very early in the show.
George Michael.
There it is.
And he said, how would you guys like to be the MC?
Oh.
Now, we never did anything important like this. So we both had on, I think, monkey suits that night.
Yeah, we had our school clothes on.
Yeah, we had the tuxedos on.
Good. And
we were sticking out like Dumb and Dumber. Even though we were dressed like everybody else, it was just widely known that for whatever reason, we weren't the element that should be hosting this event.
We had a lot of moments like that.
and it was one time when Mike and I were standing after our part had been done, there was a reception.
Staring at Joe Gibbs. You and I were just like, is he looking at us?
And we were standing about 20 feet away from him, right?
Yeah, and then eyes met, and the look.
The look
of just total disgust.
The look that said, yes, that's right. I hate you. I'm not going to come over and tell you. And listen, I know that...
Because we were like looking at him and just smirking.
Because I know that you guys now think that this is the way that we... This was... I mean, we were really, really looking at this guy going, do you believe that's him? Do you think he knows who we are?
We were doing it out of affection.
I mean, we were... Mike and I were looking at each other going... He can't really. It's like somebody asked.
We didn't believe he was giving us the dirty look, but then there was just no escaping it.
No doubt.
I mean, it was like, is he really giving us a dirty look?
And we're no.
And he kept walking, and he was like walking. He's 20 feet away, but he was walking by us on the other side of a hallway.
And just kept up this big hairy eyeball the whole time. And generally speaking, this guy, Joe Gibbs, I mean, everybody knows him as an intense football coach.
Yes, he is.
But a decent human.
Real good guy.
And, you know, one of these, like, Christian athlete guys.
Right.
Hard to believe that Joe Gibbs could hate anybody, but I'm telling you, we felt nothing but fun hate.
We did, and, you know, maybe we created that reality, but...
Where's the boy on his butt tape? Where's the Biff Barnes tape?
Oh, do we still have that?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, and here's another reason he might not like us. And, you know, may we say, as we're discussing the reasons he doesn't like us, we are delighted to have him
back.
Yeah,
what a fantastic...
So much fun. Incredibly.
You know, and let the record show. Here I was months ago, ready to burn my tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm ready to say... Okay, Snyder, you win.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't shut a guy down for making this move. I think it's the best possible move he could have made.
Yeah.
So way back in the day, which has to be, I'm overusing that today, but it's the only way to describe Joe Gibbs, we had Roy Firestone, the guy from ESPN,
mm-hmm.
did a fake bit, this fake...
Well, at the time, Joe Gibbs, we paid attention to every small detail of his life, including a little malady that he had.
He had a boil removed.
Uh-huh. He had a very nasty, apparently, boil on his bottom.
On his ass.
Wow.
And it was one of those things, everybody knew it, and it was in the newspaper, but it was in a tiny little box.
Nobody really talked.
Coach Gibbs recovering, right. And to us it was funny, so we asked this guy.
We put it on our front page.
We asked this guy, Roy Firestone, because he did this great, I'm Biff Barnes.
Funniest sports character I've ever heard. And Roy Firestone used to love to do that.
Right.
Biff Barnes, the sports guy.
At the time, there were two guys at the Redskins, and I think to this day, two guys at the Redskins who truly have a grudge against us. One is Joe Jacoby,
mm-hmm.
and the other might be Joe Gibbs. I don't know.
Yeah, there's another one that has a grudge against you, not necessarily me, but I joined you right about when that was when that was over, and that's Dave Butts.
Oh yeah.
When you called him Pumpkinhead.
But we have Roy Firestone on. And Roy Firestone's not known for doing comedy. He's even now he's not known for doing comedy.
Right.
He's turned into a giant. He's like Carrot Top. He's big and orange. And,
yeah, we don't know what he's doing with his hair, but we sure like this bit.
Anyway, we got him to do this bit for us when Coach Gibbs, it's just a 15-second card. But.
Hello again, everybody. This is Biff Barnes with a special allot to Joe Jacoby, who does our TV spots here for Theater Vision. And, of course, Coach Joe Gibbs from the Redskins, who had a boil removed from his butt last year.
By today's standards, that's nothing.
No big deal.
But march back in time with us to like 1988.
Different time.
And, you know, put yourself in the coach's position. If that boil had been on your ass and you had a couple of guys that were we doing the morning show then?
Yes, we were.
The number one rated morning show. We were talking about it for like 2 hours.
That's where we got that.
Yeah, that's what we did with
Hello again, everybody. This is Biff Barnes with a special hello to Joe Jacoby, who does our TV spots here for Theater Vision. And, of course, Coach Joe Gibbs from the Redskins, who had a boil removed from his butt last year.
We love that tape.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I am so happy. I mean, really, it's really a throwback for us, because I'm so excited about him coming back to Washington. I mean, and anybody that has ever cared about the Redskins on any level whatsoever is excited about
it's
this.
Great.
And you know what? I was on an elevator today, and people were strangers were talking about this. It was, Right.
I'll give you credit, Snyder, because I'm the first here to say you suck and you're an idiot and that you do everything wrong. This one you did right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't muck it up now.
Yeah, okay. Have they scheduled a press conference?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Even though he's hired a bunch of guys. Also, from the NFL, if I could take a moment, oh, Rob, never take this out of the machine. You never know when there's going to be an emergency shout-out.
There it is.
I've got one for
you. I'm so happy about Joe Gibbs. That sounds good to me today.
There you go. For my man, David Modell of the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
He's nuts. That's all I can say is that he's nuts.
Not really a bad thing, necessarily.
Well, I mean, I think that the fact that he's drawn to you and to this show would really indicate
red
that he's
flag,
nuts.
Yeah.
No, but really, something has... Oh, here's a press release. Is this from the Redskins? Or who's this from?
Those grapes just look good, Charlie. That's why I can't eat them because I'm on the Atkins diet.
But... Who is this from?
I got them from Subway. The Redskins.
The Redskins. All right. Daniel M. Snyder. Why start with anything but his name?
Right, of course.
Daniel M. Snyder.
Yeah, I know.
Let me just prick.
Now, everybody still feels that way.
I'm sorry. It's a great hire. It's a great move.
Yep.
Prick. Owner of the Washington Redskins announced today that Hall of Fame coach Joe Gibbs will return as head coach and team president. So I guess this is
team president.
That
there you go.
That answers the question. Very well. Let me just say, prick, well done. Now back off.
Stay out of it.
I'm back on your side.
Yeah, and really, team president means he's the main guy.
Here's all you got to do, Danny. Just write the checks. We know you got plenty of money. Now, don't make me go through the exercise of reading this press release to count how many times your name is mentioned and how many times Joe Gibbs' name is mentioned.
Well, why don't you just go right ahead?
Okay.
We're going to do a little counting right now.
Okay.
If you want to just go ahead and read it, I'll hold up my hands.
Well, no, it's very lengthy.
Okay.
One Gibbs, two Gibbs, three for Gibbs, four for Gibbs, five for Gibbs, six for Gibbs, seven for Gibbs. And I'm on the second page now. That's eight for Gibbs.
Good.
And nine for Gibbs, 10 for Gibbs, 11 for Gibbs. And a lot of the Gibbses that are in the press release, when it says Joe Gibbs Racing, Joe Gibbs Team with driver Dale Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot about the Redskins. But what was the total for
11 for Gibbs.
All right, now let's count for Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, there's one. And two, three, four, and only four.
Good. Wow.
Only four.
It's a good sign.
That is something
a good
sign. Something tells me maybe he didn't write this. Well done.
That's good news. And you know what? I really hope that it is all Gibbs next season, and we don't hear from the little guy.
Amen. And we love.
But you got to tip your hat to him, and we will give credit where credit is due. And
tip that Stuart little hat to him.
Absolutely.
Nice going.
Because I was really ready to send a bird over there, a little sparrow, to just pick him up by the suit jacket and fly him away.
So anyway, here I am, your biggest detractor. That's right. Good move. Good move, little man. Way to go. Now, don't muck it up. Do something right.
Right.
And you'll shut me up forever.
It's great news, and after one of the most dismal seasons in Redskins history, it's good for the fans. I'm happy for them.
You know, or perhaps this will lead to a friendship between myself and some higher up of the Redskins, like I have with David Modell, soon to be formerly of your Baltimore Ravens.
I wouldn't necessarily count on that.
I wouldn't either. I do want to tell you why I think he's nuts. And he probably shouldn't have told me. He probably shouldn't have told me.
Modell told you something.
Well, does he know you're going to talk about what he...
I think I might have said to him, I'm going to say that on the radio, and he said something like, oh, yeah. So he probably didn't.
So that's what you heard. He might have been saying something to you, but...
But, yeah, for the record, that's my story. That's what I heard.
You didn't hear, no.
That's what I heard. So he's a very nice man. Yeah, and you know that, I like him as a friend because he's nuts, and he's allowed me to go down on the sidelines and to actually be there standing right by the team while this crap is happening, which is just great. And we walked through that, and you know, he said in some ways he was saying to me that I made him feel better about his job because he could see through my eyes the wild fantasy world that I was living in and how great it was. And
sounds like two guys talking in a bathhouse or something like
so,
that.
We get done with that and I say, yeah, it's great. I loved being on the field. And, you know, thank you for all your hospitality.
Was this kind of a farewell call that he was giving?
Oh, no. This was, there was the calls were, messages had been exchanged. And
right.
We just, not a farewell, but again, it said, the reason I called him was to say, I would still like to be your buddy, even though you're not going to be the guy on the football team.
Right.
Right? Like to show the guy that I wasn't just friends with him because he's rich and owned a, you know, part of a football team.
Right.
Now I'll be friends with him just because he's rich.
There you go.
So I'm fine with that. And he's genuinely a nice guy. And I don't have a lot of friends.
Right. Exactly.
I think, well, here's a guy that's going to be a friend. Well, I'm going to ruin it right now. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to ruin the friendship right now, if in fact there is a friendship. Because how can I do a radio show.
Right.
How can I not tell you what the guy, whether he has the job today or had it yesterday, president of an NFL team.
Right.
Who is going to be leaving now with a change of ownership. So I'm saying to him, what do you think you're going to do? And he says, I'm going to go on a holiday. We're going to go to the Bahamas or something. And he says, I'm going to take about 6 months off. And then, and I said, and then you're going to get back into it. You're going to, you know, it's going to be tough, but you're going to find some team. And you're going to,
sure.
And he said, well, it could be that. And I said, yeah, it could. I said, or it could be any sports franchise. He said, yeah, or it could be that.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be something else.
Huh. When you told me this and in the office, I wouldn't have gotten this in a million years.
Nobody would ever guess what David Modell wants to do. And I'm probably going, you know, I should really check.
If it's okay with him?
Screw it. What the hell? he should know better if he's told me something.
The thing that I found most delightful is it's just another thing that you two share.
Same desires.
The same long-range desires.
Huh.
Well,
and I love the guessing game you played with me because, I mean, I don't think anybody would guess this.
No.
Buzz? No.
What would you imagine David Modell's dream is?
Television. Something having to do with television, I would guess.
No. Mike thought along those same lines as well.
How about radio? Because he loves being on the radio.
Right. No.
Right.
No. He wants to. Well, screw it. I'll just tell you because it's just goofy. I'll give you the same reaction I gave him.
Okay.
I laughed out loud.
All right.
He wants to be a singer.
What kind of singer, Don?
Well, I asked. Because you know his mom has a background in showbiz
performing, yes.
So
right.
She was on General Hospital. So I said, I'm kidding with him. I said, well, you want to be a singer? Well, he said, actually, I'm quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
well, me.
I said, well, maybe someday I'll see you at a dinner theater. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. And I said, well, maybe I'll see you on Broadway. And I said it just like that, like I was goofing with
Broadway.
Him. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. He said, and I quote, I imagine myself, and I can't remember the name of the musician that he used, but he said, I imagine myself with the Bill Bixby 16-piece behind me, and I'm just up there doing my thing. You know, it's the adrenaline of being on stage and performing.
Like
and,
Frank Sinatra.
And
right.
I didn't have the guts to say at the time, but being as I've let it all go now here, if you're listening, David, or somebody tells you, why wait? Why wait 6 or 7 months to make this fantasy come true? Come on our show. Come on our show now.
You know, we could get the band.
I
would love to get a 17-piece band down here and have him perform.
Yeah.
You know, really, get a big band down here.
What a freaking nut. What a nut.
A man can dream.
Yeah,
the impossible dream.
That's right. Amen to him.
Fight the unbeatable foe.
That's right. Of all things that I think that I'm going to be discussing with this guy, and I probably, you know.
He wants to be a cabaret singer.
One singular sensation. It's just.
And the odds.
Laugh if you will, but I ask you, where are all the great variety performers coming from?
They're not, Rob.
From the NFL.
There's a hole.
That's right.
They're coming from the NFL.
And he can get a comic to tour with, like Bob Kraft.
All right, well, listen, now it's out
I've
there.
I've got you under my skin.
Now it's out there. Do with it what you will. If you want to call in David Modell of your Baltimore Ravens.
I'd like to hear a little a cappella.
And
maybe someone will hear this and give him a break.
Sing,
give him
his
first big break in recording.
Do this for us. We have to do a break right now. We come back. Your calls, we do this very early today, the rotating random phone scan.
Singers are encouraged.
So get on the line right now to get on the air at 877-365-3636. I've been told that this tape is funny.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Don't blame me.
Okay. Okay. That wasn't... Well, no, I'll take it back.
Yeah.
They need that someday.
That could come in handy.
You know what? That's one for the future archives.
Yes.
Right. Future archives right there. Your calls at a rapid, rapid fire.
I wish he sang that tape.
But we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our playbook phone poll this week was, would you like to see the Redskins play Dallas in the first game of the playoffs? The overwhelming response was yes. 76% of you said we would like to see the Skins play Dallas. Only 24% said no. And now the burning question, do you or don't you like Don and Mike? Apparently these guys have sent you hundreds of flowers over the last couple of weeks. What's the answer, yes or no?
No.
You don't like them? Oh, my. Why? Any particular reason?
No reason.
Have you gotten the flowers?
Yes.
Are they nice?
My wife enjoys them.
Well, I'll be sure to pass that along to her.
All right.
You have to be smart to be an offensive lineman. Joe just proved it.
You're right. No comment is basically it. Thanks for being on the show.
Yep, Dougie.
Charlie Cassidy, thank you. Christine Brennan, appreciate you watching.
Okay. No. All right, okay. All right, sing our name.
Don and Mike Show. God damn it.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Your call's live straight ahead here on the rotating random postcast. So call now.
All right.
At 877-365-3636. That's the phone number. What didn't we get to in the opening? A lot today. Yeah, we don't have the tape
of Arnold Schwarzenegger's speech.
State of the state.
State of the state.
I'm going to paraphrase what I saw last night. He says... And I don't mean that like I says, but here he says, I was recently in some part of California that was devastated by the mudslides. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's at a funeral for somebody who died or a memorial for someone who was gone and they're, you know, they're dead. He's there for the mudslides, for all of this destruction.
Right.
And he says... I say to the family, I say to the man, and it had to be somebody who died.
Right.
But I say to the guy who's just lost, whoever this was, his son, brother, wife, whatever.
Right.
I say, is there anything I can do? And he says, Arnold, you can go to Sacramento and you can kick out all of the politicians with their double talk. And, I mean, you've got to have the tape.
As jive as it gets.
You've got to have the tape to analyze it, and I'm watching it thinking in the context of this, which was surreal to begin with, because it was at the state capitol,
right.
And it was like a real political thing,
yeah.
And they were standing up and applauding for him. You know, all these people who just probably think he's the biggest dick on the face of the earth. And his story in a nutshell was, when I was in acting as your governor, mm-hmm. at a mudslide victim's house... We're at the funeral, when I said to him, is there anything I can do? This guy who had just had somebody die,
yes.
in a...
Go
in
to
a...
Sacramento, Arnold, and kick out all those politicians with the double talk.
Right.
What was on his mind.
With
I'm
the
crazy
sure.
big words that you don't understand.
Right. One of the
things... In California.
One of the things... Oh, I know, we got to start taking calls. One of the things in calendar year 2004 that we were not going to bring back, unless it was really just over-the-top, so gay, funny, was Craig Wilson.
Right.
And wouldn't you know it, that today he's...
Has he hit a home run today?
Yeah, we might have to go to it. It's not on the plan, but we might go to it.
Very good.
Also, I don't know, Mike, you're out of the habit of watching 24, right?
I am completely out of the habit.
I
don't even TiVo it anymore.
Like did last night.
I watched it.
Listen, it's a soap opera now. It's a soap opera. It's totally unbelievable that Nina, or whatever her name is, the gal with the dark hair, would be
the
back.
The evil lady from like two seasons ago.
But she's back, and as soon as I saw her...
She's been in every season, hasn't she?
I'm watching it with Frida last night, and you had two totally different reactions. I went, hey, that's great. And Frida went, oh, now this is totally unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the show's really gone over the edge. But
well, I think I know why you still like it. It's turning into Batman.
Well, no. Mike, nothing will ever match Batman.
You're right about that.
Because Batman, you always had the crazy angles,
mm-hmm.
when they would go into the Joker's hideout. Where
Pow,
they,
bam. Yeah, and Jack Bauer doesn't hit anybody and you see a cartoon, bam. No.
No, but I meant when they would go into the hideouts of the Riddler or the Joker,
right.
The camera angle would like be sideways.
Very 70s.
Mm-hmm. Phone calls now. 877-365-3636. It was 60s.
Yeah, really.
Was it 60s?
Yeah.
It was 60s.
And I'll tell you, yes.
Do you know something else about Batman, the TV show?
No, I don't, obviously.
He didn't really climb up the walls. That was filmed.
Don't spoil this for me.
Listen to this.
He actually just crawled along the floor.
Any of you kids that got upset by that disc jockey that said there was no Santa Claus.
Right.
Turn your radio off now.
Batman really didn't climb tall buildings.
Batman walked on the floor, and they actually attached a string to the end of his cape to make it, because when you turn the camera on its side, it made him look like he was walking up a wall. So when someone would open a window and say, hey, it's Batman, they were actually opening up a trap door in the floor.
Incredible.
Sorry to blow that for you.
No, wow. Now it's ruined.
Okay, your phone calls. Here we go. Don and Mike Show, phone scan. Hello.
Greetings from the great state of Maine, boys.
Hello there.
The Pine Tree State.
Right.
I don't know if you guys happened to catch an interview today with John Riggins and Joe Theismann on the radio at the same time. It was hysterical. Two things I noticed. John Riggins, he's sounding a whole lot like Sam Huff. He had that little slur.
Man, John Riggins, it doesn't matter, you know, how you do that. I think getting young and fat is a pretty good thing. I really knew it.
Oh, exactly. It was unbelievable. And Joe Theismann, they were hawking some FedEx award they're giving out. Joe Theismann was the biggest whore I have ever heard.
Oh, listen, and we've said this to his face. He is the biggest whore, and he'll admit it to you.
He can sell a product.
As a matter of fact, what did I see when we were on vacation? Doing a pitch for an insurance company.
There you go.
Where it's now he's not wearing the officially licensed, you know, Redskin stuff, but he's got like a burgundy sweater on, and
right, and doesn't he have it almost looks like a sheepskin coat.
Yeah, and he's in.
I've seen that where he's in the stadium.
He's in a generic stadium.
Yeah, because,
you know,
I've seen it.
If only millions of people hadn't seen my career-ending injury. You know, are you bothered by pains or injuries?
Yeah,
think about for only 78 cents a day.
He is a pitchman. He really is.
That's the worst. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. This is Rich in Rochester.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, has Cousin Luigi been seen anywhere?
Cousin Luigi is actually cruising right now in the Southern Caribbean.
He's on the Royal Caribbean line.
Would you happen to know if he's the son of Uncle Luigi, the old radio guy?
I have no idea.
No, we don't know that.
It was played by J. Carroll Nash, a famous actor some years ago.
J. Carroll Nash.
Yes.
Another three-named person. Always bad when it's a three-named person.
I believe so, but I was just wondering if he was a relative.
Just like yesterday when we had Jason Allen Alexander.
Right. Creepy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Hi.
Calling you from Ocean City. This is Rick.
What's up, Rick?
Don, I salute you for being a Batman fan. I'm a huge Batman fan myself. But...
And don't think that my heart doesn't swell up with pride with that. Whenever any of you junior Batman fans
Batman.
Call to join me.
You better believe it. Absolutely.
They are off once again to the rescue.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
I'll tell you something else. The beginning where they drove out of the Batcave,
they
speed up the film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Speed limit's 15.
No cars ever move like that.
14 exactly. Miles from Gotham City.
I've watched NASCAR.
I've even got the... don't you have a Batman tattoo as well, Don?
Yes, I do. What is this? Make fun of me, Dad? Get out of here.
No, God.
He's admiring you.
I know.
He's got one on his genitals.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yes. How about 24?
I have a Batman tattoo. I should not be ashamed of
no,
that.
No, be proud.
I have a bat signal on my right shoulder.
Yes, Rob and I are the only people that are, and Charlie, non-tattooed.
Right.
And by the way, what do you have? You have Aquaman, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
But you have barbed wire or something like that? Don't you have a big macho?
It's a Celtic design. Yeah, it's an armband. Yeah, right.
Don't you have Wonder Woman?
Well, not on my arm.
Where's your butterfly?
Hello?
On my ankle.
What about Crypto?
No, I don't have that one.
Hello?
Do you know who Crypto is?
No, actually, I don't.
Superman's dog.
Right, Superman's dog.
Oh, I'd forgotten the dog.
Superman's dog.
Hello?
Don and Mike. Hello?
Super dog.
Yeah, could they push that third vehicle any more on that show, do you think?
Could what? Come again?
the Ford vehicle, how they all pull up to buy the virus and everyone has the Ford logo.
Yeah, you had to know that from the very beginning on 24 when the first episode was sponsored by Ford.
When are you going to get that tattoo of Mark Kent on your ass?
Over and over again.
When am I going to get that tattoo of what?
Mark Kent on your ass.
Who's that?
Mark Kent.
Clark Kent's mom. Superman's mom.
Mark Kent.
Not her. Not his real mom.
No, it's not.
Jor-El's wife would be his real mom.
Yeah, the widow Jor-El.
We're going down the comic book.
Todd Blank Show. Hello.
Yes,
phone scan.
Yes, can I please talk to Buzz?
I'm here, sir.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Buzz, buddy, yesterday you had reported about the Governator Ale.
Yes.
And I got it right here, and I tried it last night. It's really good. I think you'd like it. It's an ale.
Is it a bitter ale of high quality?
It is, actually. It comes out of Portland Pumping Iron Brewing Company.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. And they put out good beer. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're welcome. I'll try to introduce you to all kinds of new products.
And does it have a strong...
Please, sir.
Does it have a strong man on the label?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. At the back of him, and I look at it, he's got a nice triangle there with his lats and his thighs and his thighs. Oof, it's delicious.
God. Okay. Bye, faggot. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
I'll bet he drank the foam first.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
I bet he had sex with a bottle.
Yeah.
The way that my parents did to me when I was a child.
The reason that you're so obsessed with it right now.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, you know, with your friendship with David Modell, I was wondering if he gave you his new address in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, dear. Uh-oh, now that's the kind of call that's not going to help.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Don and Mike, radio guy.
Howdy.
I just wanted to make a comment. I think that... the three-name guy that married Britney Spears over the weekend, they're probably just calling him by his middle name so that people don't think that he married George Costanza.
All right, thank you. Mr. Obvious calling in. Thank you.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, that was on yesterday's show. That was obvious on yesterday's show. Yeah.
Right.
That was obvious
like
maybe
said,
the day before.
Like I said, it's Captain Obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. See you.
He's Admiral of the good ship Obvious.
On my show, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi, phone scan.
Are you there?
Yes, come on. Have some decorum now. This is an actual phone scan.
I'm calling about the State of the State address.
Oh, with Arnold. Did you see the story that I was talking about?
I did. Well, actually, I saw the State of the State.
All right, so you saw the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, he was talking about, it was a kid that died, or the firefighter that died in the fire. He was talking to his dad or something at the funeral. And, you know, I don't know. I think you had a lot of good things to say. I think...
But hold on. Did you hear the part that I was saying, though? When he was talking to someone who was at a funeral, and then he said to the guy who somehow was related to someone who had been killed in one of these natural disasters.
Is there anything I can do to help?
And then, and then the guy, allegedly, while he's there burying a friend or a loved one, said, yes, Arnold, you can go to Sacramento and get rid of all the crooked politicians.
He said you can tell the politicians to stop fighting.
And do you believe that story?
Well, you know, why not?
Are you from the great state of California?
I am from the great state of California.
Please hold on just for a second. Do you really think that if someone had died because of whatever the reason, they're dead. Arnold Schwarzenegger is there because he's the governor of California because the person's been killed in a natural disaster. Arnold says, is there anything I can do? Do you think you, as the grieving person, who's had the person who's died, when Arnold says, is there anything I can do, you're going to say, yeah, go to Sacramento and take care of those crooked politicians.
Right.
Honey, that's BS.
Probably not the first thing out of my mouth.
Did you vote for Arnold?
I did not, actually.
Really?
You didn't? Okay, well then you won't be responsible when the entire state breaks off into the Pacific like a piece of a chocolate chip cookie. Because that's what's going to... It starts with the flash floods,
right.
and then it, you know, then the wildfires,
the earthquake,
then the Santa Ana winds.
Hey, I want to say something. Did you, this is probably going to get deleted out, but, you know, that's what happens. Did you hear the part in his speech when he was mentioning naive, self-centered, moronic... Twats?
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, dear.
She's not. She doesn't seem to be responding.
So.
I heard that because I thought for sure when he
paused when you said that.
I'm pretty sure that he was talking about you, honey. Come on.
What was the speech about?
What did he say?
Oh my!
I'm sorry. We're being deleted. We're being deleted. All right. Buzz, this has all been deleted out, right?
Yes,
yeah. So I anyway asked her if she heard the part during his speech when Arnold Schwarzenegger mentioned naive, self-centered
things. And you used a word that can't be repeated.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Right. Anyway, right. Honey, come on, please.
We're just having fun, and come on now.
Oh, I know you are. It's all good.
But don't be so dumb as...
No, it's not all good.
Please don't be so dumb and naive as to see this guy giving a speech and not realize... Take in context what he said.
Have a healthy skepticism like Don and Mike.
Sure. Well, no, he's in politics, you know, so you
got
to take it all with a grain of salt.
Okay, yeah.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
He's normal.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
It's all going to be fine.
Bye-bye.
She Lady? Wasn't any fun.
Are you there? I was just wondering if she considered herself bright.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hey, hello, hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Carrot Top wears a wig.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, no.
You know, now, that's an interesting fact. Can we double check that?
Another image ruin.
I was going to mention on New Year's Eve. My wife and I were watching TV, all the TV shows, you know, on New Year's Eve. They all blow.
Right.
Dick Clark and the idiots on Fox with Clay Aiken and everything. So at
Dick,
one point.
Dick Clark's Casket Rockin' Eve.
I said, hey, let's turn on Jay Leno. He does a live show. And, it, you know, it wasn't funny, but we're watching it because it's live. And he says, and now this is. I got to think Jay Leno's biggest night of the year. He's live. He's
right.
Like no
right.
Competition.
Right.
He says, first guest, coming up, Carrot Top.
Oh, my God.
And Frida said to me, she said, I've never seen Carrot Top's act. And I said,
oh, wow.
You know, he brings out all the dumb stuff out of suitcases.
Yeah,
all the
props.
All the prop gags. So we watched it.
And you watched Carrot Top.
And I said to her, I can't believe this is how we're spending the first 10
but
minutes.
But did Carrot Top make you laugh?
No. He did make her laugh.
Really?
He did.
Oh, dear.
He did. Just cough syrup, Rob.
Oh,
she was not drinking.
Well, she was medicated, which is even worse.
What I was thinking about the Jay Leno thing, he goes through the whole deal about bringing in the new year. Do you realize, when he does it, it's 9 o'clock for him.
Right, okay, right. Exactly.
So it's all just showbiz.
Yes.
Hold on. I've got the actual transcript here. From what was that, Rob?
Wendell ran that off for us.
Thank you. This is the transcript of Governor Schwarzenegger's State of the State address.
All right, wait, do you have the part there where
yes,
he said
I
that?
Do. Okay.
And his opening joke, too, by the way.
But here it is. We have decisions approaching that will inflame passions and potentially create division. I want to tell you a story that relates to this. During the terrible fires that burned California, I went to the funeral of Stephen Rucker, the firefighter who died in the service of his fellow citizens. Uh-huh. He left behind a wonderful wife, two children, and heartbroken parents. After the service, I went to Stephen's mother and father. I said, if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. His father looked at me for a few seconds, and grief in his eyes with tears coming down his eyes, he said, Arnold, if you really want to do something in honor of my son, then go to Sacramento and stop the politicians from fighting.
Oh, God.
What the... What BS?
Wow.
I'd love someone to
track down the dad and see if he really said that. A little hard to believe, yeah.
Right. So he's there. His son is dead.
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, if there's anything I can do for you. His father looked at me for a few seconds, and grief in his eyes, with tears coming down his eyes, he said, Arnold, if you really want to do something in honor of my son, go to Sacramento and stop the politicians from fighting.
This is Arnold.
He's governor. Do you folks not see how jive?
It's like bad writing. A lot of people don't see it.
It's a segue that he wanted to make, but
right.
He did it in the most awkward of ways.
You're right. Unbelievable.
All right, well, we'll have the actual tape tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi, phone scan. Hello there.
Yeah, the T word did come over the radio, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you for that update. Hi.
Thank you.
Don and Mike.
That was information we needed.
Hi, Don and Mike. Phone scan.
Went...
Here.
Oh, Jesus. No. What was that, Mike?
It was a naughty little S word there.
All I heard was worthless piece of S.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Call it my name. Worthless piece of S, I say yes. Present.
Howdy, dinner served.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, did you guys see yesterday? Well, you didn't see it. The Arnold Schwarzenegger set where he called himself the Czar.
What is that noise in the background?
That's a screaming kid, man.
Sounds like a lovely child. Shouldn't you tend to whatever is wrong with that child rather than call our show?
Yeah, I am. I'm driving around with her right now trying to get her happy.
Is she in the back seat?
No, front seat.
Father of the year calling you.
How old is the precocious one?
A year and a half. She has a car seat. I'm not one of those jerks that doesn't put her in a car seat.
Yeah, but is she in the front or the back?
The front, but my internet is turned off.
It doesn't matter.
You should have her in the back seat, right?
We save her there.
But either way, at least she's in a car seat, and that's good.
That's right. Yeah, she sounds
happy.
At least she's not crawling around in the back of the SUV. while Dad's smoking his third Camel with the windows rolled up.
All right, so
that's right.
What can we do for you, the father of a future stripper?
Well, what I was... Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks. What I was telling you was, he said he was the czar last night. He was going to be the job czar.
All right, hold on. Okay, hold on a second, please. Here it is. Here's his joke.
Okay.
That's what this guy's trying to say, what Arnold said last night. Again, from the
transcript of the
jobs, jobs, jobs. The more jobs, the better. I'm going to become California's job czar. I'm going to travel the nation and the world to find those jobs. I'm going to say, come to California. Come and do business here. Buy our fantastic products, special attractions, and hire our workers who are the most productive in the world. I am a salesman by nature, and now most of my energies will go into selling California. If I can sell tickets to my movies, like Red Sonja or Last Action Hero, you know I can sell just about anything.
Oh, my God.
And California,
it's so written for him by idiots.
And California is the easiest sell I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Just maybe it's me, but does the phrase, the most productive workers in the world, recall anything else to anybody?
Oh, God.
I already played your Nazi music.
There it is. Always gets back to it.
All right. Goodbye. And the guy hung up.
Well, he's tending to his baby.
Oh, we got
to
get one more. One last call. Hi, phone scan. Hello.
This is Red Fox again, Don and Mike.
No, not Red Fox. Don and Mike. Hello. Phone scan. Just somebody to be the last caller.
Please.
To get a prize.
This has been a challenged phone scan.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Don, Mike.
Right.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey.
I had an unfortunate event of spending Christmas with my mother and grandmother, and now I know they're poof. Number three, drinking whores.
All right, my friend, what's your name?
Eric.
Eric, where are you from?
Baltimore.
All right, Live 105. And Eric, you've got the DVD copy of Sex in the City, the complete fifth season, now available on Vivid and VHS. And that's available wherever Vivid and VHSs are sold. Thanks for ending the phone scan.
I love you guys.
Not the greatest call, but he didn't have a baby in the car.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You lost again. It's not fair.
You're bigger than I am. It's not fair, Witchwife.
Ah, but nobody ever said life was fair, Tina. I'm bigger and I'm faster. I will always beat you.
Then I'm not going to play with you anymore. Ever.
The Don and Mike Show. Did you wash your ass today? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here you go, spotlight on some of our radio stations. KFH FM 98.7, Wichita, Kansas. WNTC 93.5, Drakesboro, Kentucky. The Big 700.
I didn't know we were on in Kentucky.
Neither did I. KALL, Salt Lake City, Utah. And 92.9 WBUF in Buffalo. Here's the deal. We have these guys on the telephone. They've written a book called Married to Mommy? It's a question. Married to Mommy?
Interesting.
These guys work as team counselors, and they counsel unhappy married guys. Buzz, do you think
you're married to your mother?
I think maybe all of us are, in a way. And studies have shown that we tend to mate with people who remind us guys with their moms and women with their fathers.
I know that I've yelled at Frida and said, you know, don't be my mother. Now
you should call her mommy.
Yeah, I do sometimes call her mommy. Yeah. Yes, I do. Mike?
What?
How about you, Rob?
No, my mother cleans house all the time.
Anyway,
do you guys seriously feel like you're married to your mommy?
No, I don't. Although
no,
I think
not really. You actually call your wife mommy, don't you? Like Ronald Reagan?
Because she's the mother of his son, I guess. Probably.
I used to do it when Bart was younger. You know, it's one of those things when you say, come on, get in the car with mommy. Let's go. Go with mommy.
Right.
I try not to call her mommy
now. So it's got a
now.
Question mark at the end of it. Married to mommy.
Married to mommy. Hmm. You know, I don't know if, you know, she treats me like I'm a kid. She doesn't treat me
Bingo.
Like I'm her kid, like my mom treated me, but she treats me like I'm a child.
I think all men get that from
anyway,
their
wives. Anyway, here they are.
For a period of time.
We have one of them or both of them. Jeff,
you've
got Brian?
Both of us. Hi there, guys.
All right, hi, guys.
How are you? This is Jeff Bakeman and Brian Krinbring, professors of matrimony from Seattle, Washington.
Okay, oh, great. Well, I forgot to mention that. What's our station there? Because we're on, like... Hey, we got a cherry time slot in Seattle.
Yeah, what time are we on? 2 a.m.?
No, Mike.
Yeah, like that.
Hold on. I believe we do. Yes. Actually, the show goes past 2 a.m.
It does.
Our cherry time slot on KQBZ is 11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
That's prime time for unhappy husbands.
Man,
exactly.
Who doesn't want that time
slot? That's when the husbands are tossing and turning. That's
all right. So, guys, are you married?
Yes, we are. In fact, we have over a half century of marital experience between us.
It's very, very exciting. So you're not married to each other?
No. Nor are we married to the same woman.
Very good.
All right. I'm looking at one thing in your book here that says learning to listen. And it's about, you know, if you're married to a woman who wants to be your mom.
Learn to listen to learn.
Listening intently.
That's right. That's one of the top three complaints of married women, that my husband doesn't listen to me.
Amen to that.
What?
And the situation is that mommies have a lot to say.
Yes, they
and
do.
And the problem with guys is they you know, after a few words, it just all kind of blends away in their head.
But now here's
so
the thing.
So what we've advised them to do is to listen specifically to key important words and phrases.
But now, how can guys possibly... I'm going to go right to the book and give you these key phrases now. How could guys possibly remember all of these things that you have to pay attention? Here they are now. My period. My sister's... dot, dot, dot. You know, she says, you know... And she says...
My sister's what?
Period.
Oh.
Or whatever it is. My migraine. My car. My mother. My birthday. My checkbook. My hair. My children. Your garbage. Your weight. Your snoring, your son, your drinking, your gambling, your friends, your family, our anniversary, any reference to a household appliance, any comparison of your financial situation to anyone
else. This is what you're supposed to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I propose this.
Dude, you lost me already, and I'm on your side.
That's too many, isn't it? Well, it's a book. There's a little homework, and you can refer to it, you know.
But isn't tuning out a survival mechanism? And I'm not talking about survival of the man. I'm talking about survival of the woman. Well, so that there are not a lot of holes in the desert.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, studies have shown that women speak somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 to 10,000 words in a day.
Wow.
And guys only speak about 3,000 or 4,000 words. So that's a true study. So what we're advising is to listen just for a few key words and phrases and then pay particular attention to what she says right after that.
But it does all blend together.
You have the opportunity to either take action or not, and then you just move on. You can tune out all the rest.
Okay.
Now here you go. Here's something. One of the chapters is called Cooking for Mommy. And now I do, since my wife's going back.
Mommy
to work,
being the wife, is that what it is? Or?
Well, that's the word we use. Yeah.
Since, you know, in this case, mommy's gone back to work, so I have done a lot of the cooking. It says this chapter is not about you and mommy cooking a meal together.
I'm starting to see balls in a mason jar. That's what I'm starting.
Nor is it about a cheap and easy weekend breakfast. It's about you cooking an entire dinner by yourself for mommy.
You did that on Christmas Eve.
And then they have some of the reasons that you might do this. You're hoping to get laid. She's had to work late. She hasn't let her flag fly, her liber flag fly for a while. She's fed up with your whining, and you're hoping to get laid. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're right. If you want sex from your wife, make her dinner.
Well, that's right. And again, like we said, just staying away from those weekend breakfasts. Those don't. Guys like to think those count. They don't.
And then you have this about...
Do chicks like this book, guys?
Actually, yeah, we get as much action on our website, marriedtomommy.com, from women as we do from guys.
Doesn't surprise
a lot of them
me.
Like it because they don't want to be mommies.
Yeah.
And they read the book to determine ways to not become one.
Now listen to this from a woman's perspective, because, you know, I'm surprised to read this, because back in high school, there were the four F's. Find them, feel them, F them, and forget them. In this book, from the women's standpoint, they have the triple F conspiracy, and this is with women now.
Okay.
She says she doesn't want to cook, but she does. This is because cooking is a critical part of a recently discovered feminine plot, the triple F conspiracy. It's as shocking as it is logical. Feed him, F him, and then you can forget about him. And if you think about it, it's very true that if I was to go home tonight and my wife would maybe make me a wonderful dinner, which I really love, and then bang me, then correct, she could forget about me
for the entire night, and you would go away.
Her obligation
for days,
is,
probably.
For days. Yeah, her obligation is
that'd
done.
Be all right.
Yeah. Right, but what if you're stuck with thank goodness, knock on microphone, I've got such a winner. But let's say that you're not quite as lucky in love as I am, and
right.
you have a woman who wants to micromanage your entire life to the point where even this you do everything and you forget one small incidental item and suddenly she turns into a monster from a movie.
Yeah, how do you handle that, fellas?
Well, it's, you know, that's what the book is all about. It gives hints and tips for women to stay away from that, and also helps guys deal with that, because there's three levels of mommies. There's minor mommies, there's major mommies, and the top level, the most dangerous, the one I think you just typified there a second ago, is the tsunami mommy.
Oh, and tsunami mommy.
That's my wife I'm talking about.
Their husbands with a controlling wave of overattention.
Hold on, say that.
Does your wife smother you with a controlling wave of overattention?
You know, I think I'm dealing with a minor mommy most of the time.
She'll say that my wife will say that she doesn't do that, but she does do that. She wants to know everything.
Which mommy would your wife be, Buzz?
I guess probably the middle one. I guess
probably the major.
The major mommy.
Mm-hmm. No, I got the tsunami mommy.
Yeah.
How do you handle it when mommy?
Tsunami mommy. The best you can do is break even. You see.
You've crystallized my philosophy on a happy marriage.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, and the reason for this is mommies can endure more pain. They can outthink, outsmart, and most importantly, outremember us.
Yes.
And they don't. What they remember is not your amazing victories and your home runs. It's all your screw ups. Oh. And they drag them back from years ago and beat you senseless.
My God, is this guy really making sense?
I mean, we're at a huge disadvantage in the game.
All right,
the survival guide.
Here's a thought that I have. How can I retrain her so that she thinks about me the way that... And now, my wife loves me more than anything, but because she has been kicking me around for 23 years, and I'm the dog in the relationship. I mean, I'm the man, but I'm the man because she lets me be the man. How do I get it back to when we first met? Because when we first met, she thought I hung the moon. And I think she still thinks I'm a good guy, but there's no doubt now that I'm the dope.
Or can you get that back?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Follow
can
that.
I? Or, you know, do I? Is my only choice to stay with the model I've got?
It's like Hansel and Gretel. There's no breadcrumbs. Okay,
you can't
go all the way back.
Mm.
You can arrest the development of the mommy, however, and keep them in the minor and the major, you know, categories.
And that's by A, you know, cooking for her once in a while. B, don't make the common screw ups that guys make on the four special days.
Well,
those,
all right.
You know, those are
what are the four special days?
What are the
that's
four
Christmas.
Special?
That's her anniversary, her birthday, and the one that's coming up
38 days from now.
Valentine's Day.
Right. There you go.
And I appreciate the fact that you guys said her anniversary. Because really,
her anniversary is funny.
It was her wedding.
Here's something that I do get.
It was her wedding.
Yeah. Here's something I do get from her a lot, and this one I'm serious about. That does piss me off when we're in public with people. Maybe it's a mommy thing. You tell me. we'll be talking to somebody and she'll say, oh, I just had that done at my house. I just had a floor like that put in my house. And I'm standing right next to her.
Right.
And on more than one occasion, I pull her aside and I say, hey. Yeah, hello, it's my house, too. Is that a mommy thing?
If you two split up, who would get the house?
Bingo! Bingo!
Currently her house.
B-I-N-G-O. B-I-N-G-O. Yeah, all right.
So all right.
We have a winner.
See, guys, the reason I reacted to that is my mommy left me.
You see, did you have a mommy leave?
Yes, I've had two leave. As a matter of fact. Are you
on the three-year plan?
No, actually, it was about six or seven both times.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all. Your next book should be When Mommies Leave.
You know, I should say, to be fair to my mommy, to my wife, that occasionally, like on New Year's Eve, after she had some NyQuil and had a drink,
right.
She actually did sit down and say to me how much she appreciates all the stuff that I do.
That's good.
There you go.
So I mean,
so maybe she's not a tsunami mommy.
Well, and it is a trap. It is a trap that couples, you know, fall into early in the relationship, where the guy thinks he's got his sexy girlfriend all wrapped up, and her nurturing side is coming out, and she's taking care of his every whim.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of going by the wayside with the remote, kind of going lazy on her.
Now,
before they know it, they're both asking what happened. So it's a two-way street there.
Hold on.
And so we're advising guys to do a few things. Not a lot. Be effective.
You know, that's pretty good advice.
Because guys don't do much.
Just
if you do a few key things, you stay out of that mommy trap.
That's right. Key
things. But I don't mind letting everybody know that I'm pussy whipped.
Yeah.
But what you're doing here is what you're saying.
Are you hearing what they have to say? Are you paying attention? Because you do this.
Yeah, I know.
And I observed
that's what
being,
I'm saying. I
you know,
do
being
it.
Twice married, two unsuccessful marriages. You do exactly what he said.
And
you do stuff.
And I'm pussy whipped.
But you do stuff, but you're also married 23 years. And I think that maybe I listened to this, and I seriously think maybe if I had, you know, paid attention to little things like that, it would have been better. I think that's very, very,
yeah,
I think that's the best advice I've ever heard.
But I'm telling you, now that I'm trying harder than ever, now that my son just went to college six months ago, trying harder than ever to get that house in order, get, you know, things running the right. God, I sound like a faggot when I say that, don't I? Get that house
I think, but they're exactly right. You follow that advice. You do that. And I think.
But, Mike, I'm still miserable.
Yeah. I think you are.
You know, I'm still miserable.
I mean, but you are.
So deep down, the disadvantage that you're at. I mean,
yeah.
You have to understand your place. You know,
yes,
and you
you're right.
This is horrible, though. You know, I'm understanding it, and it's making sense to me, but it's pissing me off.
No, yeah. You're absolutely right.
It really is.
Some of the other key hints and tips in the book, like the veil of incompetence, you know, which you might use already, but we use it to great advantage out here in the Northwest, where you have a project that you're trying to do, and what you do is you keep screwing up on little bits of it and have to leave the house all day long. While you're gone, you can go to the liquor store, get a bucket of balls, right? Those kinds of things.
There you go.
And buy yourself a little bit of free time, even in your disadvantaged state.
That's great. It's all an illusion.
Again, you don't know how far ahead of you I am. You don't know. I mean,
you're killing me.
I swear to God, the other day when we had spent the whole day together, and we passed the store on the way home, and I knew there was something that we got home, and I said, I forgot
store.
To go to the store, and then she's already changed out of her clothes. She's in her sweats, and never mind. I'll run out and get it.
And you're out, and you're using the veil of incompetence, also reinforcing your forgetfulness.
Yeah,
you know what I'm hearing this discussion as I sit over here on the sidelines of this little discussion right here, and I'm realizing that maybe I just didn't pay attention.
Have to pay a little attention.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. Well, and see, you've got to also know that we've never had the upper hand.
All right.
You know?
Last thing, guys, hold on. I got to ask you one thing. It says in your book, what is, you have found a friend in vagueness, what is the cough? The most underappreciated communication tool is the cough.
Huh.
What is so big about the cough?
Well, coughing is something, I think it was used in the old days when there were more colds going around, but people haven't used it in a long time, and it helps you buy time. So when you're caught in the middle of a mommy moment, when she's zeroing in on something, instead of communicating anything via word and screwing things up and getting yourself deeper in, you start coughing. There's nothing she can get her hands on there.
I'm writing that on my wrist.
That's pretty good.
But you're buying seconds. You're buying seconds.
Not if you have a real fit.
It gives you enough time to think of an excuse, and if you can't think of one, the cough can just be so outrageous that you have to, you know, go get a glass of water.
Or grab your left arm.
All right, guys, listen.
Grab your left arm.
As somebody, I imagine, I'm married, I love my wife.
It's the big one.
I know, Buzz, you're married, you love your wife.
Right.
And the same with Rob and even Mike. Guys, and you love your wives, but really, bottom line, are they the enemy?
Now
we're talking men and women, not women with mommy complexes or men with Peter Pan complexes, just simply men and women. Are they?
Well, we don't know. We are onto something there. We don't know exactly where this leads, but we think we might end up with something like Man Nation in the future, where we all live west of the Mississippi and they all live east or something.
All right, boys.
Conjugal visits.
Yeah, we don't know where it's going to end up.
An occasional road trip for sex.
Yeah. Well, no. See, here's the deal. I mean, we, the professors of matrimony, love women. It's the mommies we're scared of.
Yeah, that's right.
When they morph into a mommy that's trying to control everything, from what you do to what you think to where you go to when you come home, it's a cold, cloistering blanket of over-attention.
And do they all morph?
They all, you know, just remember this. When you were a little kid and you were out playing war with your buddies or whatever,
right.
They were playing Barbie, okay?
Yeah.
But that, guess what accessory comes with Barbie?
Right, Ken. Right.
They would dress him up and just make him into exactly the perfect little husband that they wanted.
So that's a yes.
So your wife is okay with you writing this book and doing these interviews?
Well, we get kind of puzzling looks from them, yeah.
You know, on that Larry David show this week, he did say one thing that was absolutely true. He said, he talked about women, wives, they're not partners, they're rivals.
That's true.
That I do agree with, is true. All right, thank you. Guys, listen, your time is done now. The name of the book is called Married to Mommy. And you can get it at Amazon or wherever. Wherever.
All the major bookstores.
Wherever nice soft cover books are sold.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Keep your helmets on out there.
Bye. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's kind of sad how much sense they made.
Yeah, it really is, but you know, really, we were just talking to some eunuchs there. You know, no question about it.
But aren't we all?
Yes, I suppose.
Okay, handy home buying chart. Do something else from this book. Let me see. If you have a fireplace in your master bedroom, the benefit is that you'll get sex because there will be heat in there. She'll get hot. If you have a hot tub, chances are less that you'll get sex, that she'll simply enjoy herself in the hot tub. You will get better sex from your mommy wife if you have an excellent heating system and you change the air vents regularly. You will get more sex from your mommy wife if you help to keep the kitchen in nice running order. You will not get sex from your mommy wife if you have a big, messy garage, if your den and your office are messy. And the best way to have sex with a mommy wife is to have a minimal yard.
Yeah.
To have, like, zero lot lines, just so there's no arguing ever about this stuff.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
It's interesting and quite sad.
And, you know, for me, it's like looking in a mirror.
Yes, it is, but
23 years, there you go.
23 years.
You know, and me, you know, in my case, it wasn't the bucket of balls. It was the full 18 holes.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, this is the Vatican. The message you're about to hear is brought to you by Vatican Radio, the Pope's radio.
Wash your face and hands.
Sit down, Mama.
You got that bed. Wash your face and hands.
Put a little bit of feeling.
Get the twitching in the kitchen. Rattle them pots and pans.
get up and shake, rattle and roll. Come on and shake, rattle and roll. Come on and shake, rattle and roll. Come on and shake, rattle and roll. You want to write the story of your doggone soul. Wake up.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
They have very nice teeth. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Don, I'm Mike, Radio Gods. How are you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I know I married my mom. I'm not getting sex from her either.
Good all right, point. Thank you.
Okay. We tapped a nerve.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Listen, here's the deal about Lady Di.
Yeah.
Princess Di. Mm-hmm. Candle in the Wind.
Yes.
All that other stuff. There's a top level.
The People's Princess.
There's a top level.
There you have it.
Top level police investigation.
Yes.
Prince Charles allegedly wanted her dead.
Mm-hmm. It's a pack of lies.
The Daily Mirror. That's a tabloid, but who cares? So is the Inquirer.
It's a pack of lies.
They say that Prince Charles was planning an accident to kill her. Diana wrote, Lady Di, Princess Di, Diana, she wrote, "At this particular phase in my life is the most dangerous. My husband is planning an accident in my car, brake failure, and serious head injury." The bombshell story came on the same day the royal coroner opened an inquest into Diana's death.
Wow.
So apparently she'd been writing in her diary that he wanted to kill her and that he was going to cut the brakes on her car.
And then she died, of course, in that tragic car crash.
In a car.
Right. And listen, she might have been a bitch on wheels, but I say to Prince Charles again, you know, what are you thinking? Because at least she was good to look at.
Well, what if he'd had the mommy book?
Yeah, right.
Things would be different.
Now, you really
look who he's
so
married to now, though. He's with like with his grandmommy
now. Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yeah.
And you really, do you think that even if they found evidence that over there, at still the way the royal family is revered, do you think they'd lock him up?
Yes, they would, because they love her. More than they love him.
They do indeed.
And they especially love her because everybody writes songs for her.
Yes.
Elton. Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton John.
Right.
So you do think that they would, he goes to the slammer?
Yeah, right.
Boy, he'd be somebody's bitch.
But he's supposed, isn't he supposed to be virtually all the way homo anyway?
Well, I think his footman turned out to be his handman.
Yeah, right, gotcha.
His footman turned out to be his handmaiden.
He's just as dumb as he appears then.
Yeah.
If, in fact, he had something to do with this, or even if he didn't, given the benefit of the doubt that Prince Charles didn't have anything to do with the death of Princess Di, to say something that would make her write that down. I believe my husband wants to kill me by cutting the brake lines on my car.
Well, you know, I think he could probably plead insanity when you just look at her and you look at that absolute troll that he's with right now. I mean, that alone, I mean, he's not quite right. There's something really off about that.
Yeah.
Unless she's got a killer body. When you get her out of those frocks.
Yeah, and you don't have the face.
You really don't. Maybe she's just like, you know, maybe she's got a hard body. I doubt it.
I was talking to this is true, and I won't say the guy's name.
Camilla, show me your lats.
I was talking to a guy when I was at the Ravens game,
uh-huh.
The playoff game on Saturday, talking to a guy, and maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, but irregardless, I said I said to him something. Never mind, he'll get very mad.
Oh, now you're disappointing me.
I'll tell you about it. No, it was
getting a penalty. You're not going to write it down, are you?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to write it down because you know, I got to watch this. I got to censor myself because people say things to me,
and they want them to be said in confidence, and you blurt them out for millions to hear.
And no, this was not even a case of it's
right.
It's me as well.
Well, you know, all I know is the subject we're on now is murder. So you're not going to be responsible for someone going to jail, are you?
All right, I'm talking to this guy, and we're talking about our wives.
Oh, dear.
And he says,
no good can come of this.
Oh, no, and it's not
Rob Spiegel.
It's not this guy. It's another guy.
Okay.
And I say something to him because I'm just I'm making that BS small talk.
Right.
Well, what are you going to do? You know,
yeah.
What are you going to do, huh? Live with them, love them, kill them. Oh, and I'm the one that said, what are you going to do? You know,
right.
Live them, love them,
yeah, you can't.
Kill them.
Yeah.
And then this guy who shall remain nameless.
Yes.
And incidentally, not David Modell.
Okay.
But it turned to me, standing outside, it turned and said, you know, you can't do that. And I said, I'm aware that you can, but I don't have any plans.
Well, can't you do just about anything?
Well, here's the
sure,
thing.
That's a little scary.
I said to him, I don't have any tentative plans right now to kill my wife.
It's good you said that.
And then the guy said to me, if you're ever wondering, I might be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Now... I guess,
okay, who was it?
I guess the guy could say that he was kidding with me.
Of course.
But I got the distinct impression...
There was no discussion of prices.
That he was serious.
Wow.
Mike, I noticed this from Hong Kong.
Yes.
If you're a member of the Chinese ping pong team...
They're great over there at that game.
Coach... Kai Zunogao.
And
again, I don't know. It's Zhenhunahunaa.
Smith. Coach Smith.
Has banned members of the ping pong team from, as he calls it, falling in love.
Ah, yes.
Before the Olympics this year. Last year, he had three guys on his national ping pong team that... lost matches, and when he talked to them after the matches, he found out that they had gotten laid the night before.
Yep.
These guys play ping pong.
Well, I mean, but I think maybe by doing that, it probably means they don't keep their eyes on the balls.
They let romance get in the way of their praying skills. So now, no falling in love.
You will not fall in love always.
Before the Olympics.
We will make sure. Okay. We will make sure that you do not fall in love before your big match.
I know you heard about this, but I have to bring it to your attention anyway. Because this is what I do. I see things that just piss me off and make me laugh. George Harrison is dead. George Harrison was forced to autograph a guitar on his deathbed for his doctor, his cancer doctor. And he even had to endure a concert that the doctor's 12-year-old son came in and performed for George Harrison.
While he was dying. Yeah.
While he was dying.
Yeah. Whoa.
The doctor said that George Harrison was so out of it, he could not even remember his name. They said, how do you spell George? He didn't know how to spell George. How do you spell Harrison? He didn't know how to spell it. So what the doctor did was grab George Harrison's hand. And guided the hand letter by letter to get a signature on a guitar.
Jesus, who? And obviously there was a witness to this.
Well, there's a lawsuit. I'll get to this. The guy's name is Dr. Gilbert Letterman.
Hey, George, is there a chance you could autograph my my guitar?
With a D, not with a T.
Man, oh man, let's get this done before he passes.
So now George Harrison's, the widow Harrison, is trying to get the autographed guitar signed right before he died. But the most offensive, insensitive, bizarre, and inappropriate act, according to this lawsuit, was bringing the doctor's kid and two friends to the Staten Island area where George Harrison was staying while he was undergoing this treatment. He took the children. Now, the doctor took the children into the room where George Harrison was bedridden and in a lot of pain and discomfort. He had George Harrison listen to his son play the guitar.
Oh, my God.
Afterwards, he took the guitar, put it in George's lap, and asked him to sign it. George Harrison refused.
Ah.
And said, now the quote is from someone else in the room at the time, George Harrison said, I don't even know how to spell my name. At that point, the doctor said, come on, you can do this. He then leaned over and grabbed onto George Harrison's right hand.
This is amazing.
Sick. And guided him through the autograph. And in case you're wondering...
So this is his wife that was witnessing this.
In case you're wondering if this is true or false, in the new National Enquirer that came out after the like one that was been on the newsstands for a week or so, the Cher is on the cover. There's a picture of the doctor's son Ariel holding the guitar 2 weeks after George Harrison had died.
Wow, that is some sick stuff.
Yeah.
Also being
just one more thing, George.
Also being sued, besides the doctor, are the kids. Now, let me see, because Ariel, who's now 14, mm-hmm. and the two other friends of the doctor, they received autographed cards from George Harrison, and the thought is that if George Harrison is so out of it that he couldn't move his arm and couldn't write his own name, that the doctor probably
grabbed his hand and signed the cards, too.
Sign it again. Let me see, the guitar has been appraised at... $6,000,
mm-hmm.
and the family, the Harrison family, wants it back. But there you go. There's
pretty intense,
pretty great bedside manner.
Wow!
This doctor.
You can do it, George. Come on.
What's his name, Doctor?
Just sign it before you die,
Doctor Gilbert Letterman. There's a future for you at Infinity Broadcasting. we've mentioned this guy, Jason Alexander, on the show before.
Jason Allen Alexander,
right? Not the Seinfeld guy.
Right.
The redneck that married Britney Spears
with the big doofy ears.
He's hired a PR guy,
yep.
and a marketing agent, and he has received book and TV offers.
You know, this is the culture of celebrity.
You believe
the way it works?
He has his hands full. He got $1 million.
Question is, did she have her hands full?
No, I take it back. He didn't get it. He's been offered over $1 million for a home video that he has of he and Britney Spears getting married.
Wow. But nothing, not like a Paris Hilton video.
No, nothing like
wouldn't
that.
That be something?
Wouldn't that be really something?
Hold on, I got so much crap here. I got some.
I'm kind of playing into my own mind right now.
By the way, the producers of Las Vegas are concerned right now that Britney's going to back out because she was due to appear in an upcoming episode of the series Las Vegas, but because of her little weekend there, now she's not so sure she wants to be a part of it.
Come on, Britney.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Julie, hello.
Julie. Hello. I was just wondering if you heard when they found out about Camilla being Prince Charles' lover, about the letter he wrote to her saying he wanted to be her tampon.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
That was several years ago. It was really quite interesting.
Will, you don't understand. I love you so much that I'd like to be your tampon.
I think we discussed that in fact.
I think we might have.
But it bears repeating.
What a prince.
I want to be your tampon.
That is bloody fantastic.
Bye-bye. It's a red letter day. All right. See you later.
The show's got a pretty good flow to it today.
And, you know, Dick Gregory's a nut. And he's a nut who I think most times has the best intentions.
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy, for whatever reason, something pisses him off. He goes on a hunger strike.
That's right.
To me,
got him mad this time.
Just wait. The hunger strike's the dumbest thing in the world because the only person you're hurting is yourself.
Because
you're not eating, but you're making a statement.
You just don't understand. Don't understand when we've had those fights and I've gone on my hunger strike.
Mike, Dick Gregory... It's just ended his latest fast.
That's right, Rob. It was 2 hours.
A 40-day fast.
You got so thin.
2 hours. Man, was I dizzy.
It's a 40-day fast to show support.
You remember that last one when Donna... Excuse me.
Now, would you like a cup to send that one right out to the fans?
I don't do that very often, but I will tell you, it was very touching, though, after the end of my 2 hours when you shoved the lemon juice into my mouth. It was great.
Gregory has ended his 40-day fast in support of Michael Jackson.
Oh boy. Oh, dear.
Quote, "I would leave a child of mine with him. Sure I would," said Mr. Gregory from his hotel room in Virginia.
Oh.
Now, here you go. Here's what Dick Gregory said. This is a quote now. "If you had a choice between leaving a child with him or Crocodile Dundee, who would you pick?" And, of course, he's
referring to baby with Crocodile Dundee.
Steve Irwin.
He's got kind of a point.
For 40 days.
Oh, I disagree.
Not a question at all.
I'm kidding.
Jesus.
Well, I was concerned.
Back off. For 40 days, Dick Gregory has lived on a diet of a gallon of water mixed with 8 lemons and a cup and a half of maple syrup. He went from 159... to 124.
Yeah, because he was so fat before.
And now he wants all of Michael Jackson's fans to have prayer ceremonies and light candles and Anyway, that's what I got for you, that Dick Gregory's nuts.
I was looking over your shoulder, and this is good if anyone prints out a picture of Dick Gregory on their computer. His face looks the same upside down.
Really?
Yeah, look at it.
Wow. Well, no, he's bald.
But he's got the same hair. No, he's
all right, hold on. Mike, here's Nutty Dick Gregory.
Right.
And now here's his picture turned upside down.
No, that's Rob's sick, twisted world right there.
Let's stand by that.
Listen, I'm with you with the cross-eyed stuff on the Dixie Chicks.
I'm absolutely not with you on that.
Rob, you know, your penance for that is you're going to have to fast now.
And that's,
how long?
And that's all.
20 minutes.
Next
Boy, you're a lot more lenient than I was. You said during the next commercial
stuff. Don't need during the next 10 minutes.
There you go.
Oh, and finally, about Steve Irwin. He is still in the running for the Australian of the Year. And I say, yeah,
bravo.
Let's give it to him. Who knew that they had such an award?
I say bravo to you, sir.
But they've announced that even though he was with his kid at the Crocodile Place, that he's still good enough to be the Australian of the Year.
That's great.
Watch out. Where'd the baby go? Where'd the baby go, mate?
It's a real ripper. Dear Carmella, I want to be your tampon. Nice. Love, Charles.
Chucky.
P.S. I've got the brakes. I've got the brakes.
That's right. Camilla, pull my string.
Finally, we can be together. Ah, listen, daughter. Now it's tampon time.
For my entire life, I've struggled mightily to be with an ugly woman.
And now...
Now the pretty one's gone.
And I don't only want to be with an ugly woman. I want to be an ugly woman's tampon.
That's right. I miss you so dearly, Camilla. I've covered myself with cotton.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Back in less than 10 minutes. It's a new year and time for you to get a new wireless company. Hey, switch to Singular. Take advantage of the amazing deals Singular is offering right now.
You'll be delighted with Singular's rollover minutes.
Only Singular has rollover. Only Singular lets you keep your number and your unused anytime minutes.
Sign up for Family Talk, and Singular will give you 500 bonus rollover minutes to share. Add a line for $9.99 per line per month on select plans starting at just $39.99 a month.
You could use Singular to order a new lamp or any accessory.
Yes, and bring it into the office to decorate your friend's workspace.
Nationwide long distance included. How about that, Mike?
It's wonderful. New year, new wireless company, new script, same number. Make the switch to Singular. Call today. 1-866-SINGULAR. Log on to Singular.com or visit any Singular wireless store.
You know, they're looking for something in these commercials that's kind of an endorsement. And if you were a regular listener of the show, and I hope you are, a couple of days ago, I believe in a segment that aired outside this commercial, I think my wife said an awful lot about Singular. Mm-hmm. Certain restrictions apply. She loves it. See any Singular wireless store for details. WJFK.
The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't understand you, sir.
Jerry!
No, I was right the first time. I don't understand you. Well, thank you, sir, whatever that was.
Jerry!
I can't believe I paid for this guy to be here.
The Don and Mike Show.
From what I've seen of their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
Occasional a-holes. Don and Mike.
Yeah, we are. Here's where we're up to in the show now. We got a lot of material. We're trying to get as much of it on as we possibly can. We do have a really, really homogenized... homogenized. Yes, Craig Wilson. Uh-huh. Here's the deal. For 2004, I thought we'd clean up the show. We'd do the phone scans. We'd get the time worked out and everything.
Right.
And I thought there'd be some things that we're going to... You'll hear some things that we do less and some things that we do more. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was going to phase out was Craig Wilson because... God, we finally got him to write about us in his column in USA Today.
Yeah, that was the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of just said to myself over the holiday, all right, no more Craig unless it's just so Craig that I can't ignore it.
If it's the Craigiest.
And it's already happened.
And he delivered a Craigie column.
Wow. On the very first the day that we're back when he writes a column, the very first Wednesday.
That's very exciting.
So I just want you to know this is not going to be a regular feed. It's only going to be when it's very special. And because of that...
A very special Craig Wilson.
Because of that, we have a slightly different theme that we'll be using. Also know that we will be taking your phone calls here in a second. I'm not sure if we can do a phone scan, because everybody's still calling about Joe Gibbs, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are calling about Prince Charles
sure.
killing Lady Di.
But I'd like to say, because of the abundance of phone calls, that Joe Gibbs had absolutely nothing to do with Princess Diana's death.
So you say. But he didn't want to be her tampon. Yeah. He did.
No, that was Camilla. That was the Joe Gibbs letter to Camilla.
Dear Camilla, we'll have to agree to disagree. But we got to go with the Craig. Because just trust me on this. Even if, if you're sick of this bit.
Right.
It's so Craig today. And we have a new theme. Which you're going to bring out just for the very special Craig.
I like it.
Like I said, unplanned, but it's so good. We got to go with it. From today, the UFA Today. The final word. By Craig Wilson. Do you know
where you're going to? It's time to get into a New Year's state of mind.
For the last few years, our neighbor Rick, an all-around nice guy, made a tape for us to play on our annual holiday road trip to upstate New York.
He's very good at this, blending songs just like the best disc jockeys do. He's so good, in fact, I told him he should quit his day job and make tapes for a living.
Uh-huh.
He thinks I'm just trying to get another tape out of him,
which I am.
The unspoken rule has always been not to listen to his selections until we're on the road. But a few days before we left, I confessed.
I played a bit of it one night while I was ironing.
I discovered Rick's tapes are good ironing music. He now said that next year the tape will not be handed over until we're in the car. Rick can be a bit of a control freak. But that's fine. It's a small price to pay for personalized road music. Rick knows our taste in music. It's very similar to his. We like to actually understand the lyrics. But he has journeyed much further into the music world than we. One wall of his den is nothing but CDs! The best thing about these tapes is that you never know what song is coming next.
Unless, of course, you cheat like I did this year.
But we won't dwell on that. It will not happen again.
There's usually a smattering of James Taylor and Judy Collins, Bonnie Raitt and Mary Chapin Carpenter, Joan Baez and Jimmy Buffett. And often, there's a theme.
This year, Billy Joel sang New York State of Mind as we crossed the border near Elmira. And to make the journey even more mellow, John Denver is back home again, filled the car as we worked our way over the rolling countryside near, how do you pronounce that town?
Geneseo.
Geneseo. And headed towards Lake Ontario and the farm. Supper was indeed on the stove, an hour or so away.
We often sing along to our old favorites, even our dog, Murphy, who barked at these outbursts in the past, is now resigned to this annual concert on wheels, lying on the back seat politely pretending it is harmony she is hearing.
But Rick often adds an esoteric tune to the mix, songs like Leonard Cohen's famous Blue Raincoat. Rick chose Jennifer Warren's rendition, and I've been haunted by it ever since.
I had never heard the song before the trip, a fact that made me happy. It's nice to know that at 54, there are still things yet to discover.
Oops, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, yeah, Mike, 54. Oh, still things to discover. What, discover.
Leonard Cohen song. Secluded beaches in Brazil. The car keys.
I learned that lesson again over the weekend when I was doing my annual New Year's house cleaning.
Rummaging through the kitchen drawers, I uncovered, among other things, a leaking tube of furnace cement, directions in Spanish, a dried up can of Red Bear brass polish, Naval Jelly Rough Dissolver.
Yeah.
And a never-used electric peeler. Still in its box. Directions in French.
My partner Jack and I always ask the same question when we uncover such finds. If someone showed you this, would you say it was in our house? The answer is always no. Which is also kind of exciting.
It's a new year. Explore. There might be an electric peeler waiting for you out there somewhere.
Or better yet, a famous blue raincoat. That's great.
Wow. How could we not read that?
I was so glad in the new year to get my partner Jack.
How could we not know that? And my question, exactly what is Naval Jelly Rust Dissolver?
Well, I don't know, but it sounds nasty to me.
Is it something you put in your belly button?
No, no.
You put it on, you know, car bumpers that are from old cars.
Rummaging through other things, a leaking tube. I bet there's been a leaking tube.
Oh.
And what about, I mean, there were so many highlights there.
A smattering of James Taylor and Judy Collins.
Bonnie Raitt, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Joan Baez.
You know, the image that I picture is them seriously driving along going, "Hey, it's good to be back home again." And picture them singing in a car with the dog. Man, is it three guys? Is that the
yeah,
way I understand
three,
it?
Yeah, three guys and a dog.
Because Rick does
Rick,
the saves.
It's Rick and the partner, Jack, and Craig.
Craig did the iron.
And the dog, Murphy. It's actually four guys.
Yeah.
If you count the
yeah,
dog, it's a guy.
We're almost to Lake Ontario and the farm.
Didn't we determine Murphy to be a female dog, though?
I don't know if we've ever followed that.
I think it was mentioned last season.
Can you picture
last season's episodes?
Can you picture Rick getting all mad? Craig, I can't believe you listened to my tape. I can't believe it.
I'm sorry I cheated.
While you were ironing.
I was doing my ironing.
You know, in some ways that's a very gay version of High Fidelity, where Jack Black comes into the record store, and John Cusack is all bummed out, and Jack Black puts in Katrina in the Waves, and then Jack Black says, he says, "That is my special Monday morning top five songs that I mixed for you."
Murphy, it's time to go outside. I have to do my annual New Year's house cleaning.
Okay, so that's...
thank you, Craig.
That's Craig.
Happy New Year, Craig Wilson.
I'm very glad that we got to that today.
Bravo.
Mike, here you go. Not had time to ask you today. I'm sure we will more in depth tomorrow.
Yes.
But you, my friend, you're the greatest.
When he says that, he usually substitutes greatest for pathetic.
No. As you mentioned, Jeff,
Don, I'm just making my way. You know that.
I know.
You?
Hey, you mentioned to me yesterday in passing, up in the office, you know, you're really doing the PTD thing.
Yes.
The part-time dad thing. Really sticking to it. Uh-huh. And you did what every part-time dad does or wishes they could do for their children.
It was a lucky break. I got a lucky break.
Mike has bought his daughters a pony.
A pony. PTD. I know it sounds like that. A pony. I'm going to pick the pony up this weekend. I'm gonna trail a horse trailer.
Now is the house
with the pony in it?
Is the horse going to live in your house?
No. I do not have the house that accommodates horses. So hello. You know, Rob and I were speculating that maybe I put the baby gate up.
I could love you some baby gate.
You know, put the hear the clop 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 out in the kitchen.
I have an extra litter box.
What is that? Yeah. All you have to do is leave them food and water, right?
Yeah.
You have to just put out a little hay and you'll be all set with that.
Cut a hole in your door.
My pony. No, a friend of mine who actually has a large enough piece of land, and he's got horses.
Is he a PTD?
He is. He is. Yes, he is. And so we share that, my good friend Jim. And Jim called me while I was on vacation, and I think we had discussed, he'd thrown the idea out, and I'd kind of said, "Hey, that sounds great if we split this thing right down the middle." Not, you know, not like in that scene in The Cell.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we're not going to do that to the horse.
Not
but,
literally.
But he said, "Would you be interested?" I said, "Yeah, very much so." And so apparently on the...
You're buying a pony for your daughter.
A pony. That's
a pony.
Right. What do you do when you're part-time dad? You get him a pony. I love him so much, I'm getting him a pony. And I know nothing about horses or the care and feeding, and I'm really actually not even sure that... I hope that my friend Jim has a little experience with trailing horses.
Maybe it'll be like Tony Soprano's horse. I mean, I hope it doesn't end up like that.
Like dying in a tragic barn fire?
Yeah, and then remember Tony had his portrait painted next
to the horse.
And then Paulie ended up taking the portrait.
I've heard different things about ponies. I've heard that ponies, believe it or not, the word pony, you have that nice, peaceful picture of a sweet, gentle, kind creature. But I've heard certain ponies can be very mean. And I'm just hoping this pony is not mean.
Has this pony a name?
No, I don't believe so. I heard that the name might be Hershey. But don't get any ideas, boys. It's pony time. Pony time. Yes, sir. I'm gonna be now. Stop it, Rusty Ford's pony. No, not gonna happen. I have no idea. I will give you a full report on Monday as to what happens. But all I know is,
hey, girls, guess what Daddy has for you
on Daughter Day?
Riding side saddle.
It's a pony. Pony, and you know, I mean, really. Anybody, my daughters are 8 and 6, and I'm a very popular man. Right,
I would
now
think so.
When I called my ex-wife and gave her the news, and I said, "Yeah, go ahead and tell them," I could hear the screaming in the background. So that's how they, and it wasn't painful screaming.
Okay, good.
They were that excited.
No. It wasn't like that.
No. This is I'm a little nervous, even though I'm not going to be keeping the pony at my house. Maybe on weekends.
Do you have?
I will keep the pony at my house.
Do you yet have your Steve Martin Parenthood hat?
Yeah, with the little cowboy hat. And some, like, white chaps with red fringe on them. Yahoo!
The six-shooter.
I'm very excited about the prospect of getting the pony, and I will not be riding the pony. I think it's a little too small.
You'd probably kill the pony.
I would kill the pony if I got on the back of the pony.
Kill the pony. Yeah. Collapse.
Maybe I could wear my collar like Buzz and ride the pony. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm very excited about being the part-time dad and pony buyer. And I mean, you know, it's not like I'm buying the whole pony. I'm buying half of the pony.
Get the front half.
And
are you buying the front half or the back half?
We're going to flip a coin for that one. But
my money
I want the front half. I want the front half. I really do. And I'll bring a shovel and scoop poop and what do they call it? Muck the stalls.
Uh-huh, right.
I'll do the whole thing.
You're going to do that, really?
Yeah, we're going to go. I mean, the pony will be, that'll be a wonderful late winter activity. It's pony time. You know, whenever I'm having those struggles as a single parent, which is when you are a part-time dad, you know, you're there and it's you and them and you do the best you can. Whenever it gets a little shaky or a little wobbly, it'll be pony time. I don't care if it's midnight.
Does Hershey
we'll go over and see the pony.
Does Hershey come?
I don't know if it's Hershey yet.
Okay, well, just some
think
of argument.
I think that the guy, my babysitter who works for this guy that I'm getting the pony with, I think she said the pony's name was Hershey.
Okay.
Or Reese's.
Nestle. Okay, how about just Fudge?
Rusty.
Fudge the pony.
Does Fudge the pony come with any accessories, like a cart?
I you mean to pull them around?
Yeah.
No. And somehow you're going to work a whip into it, too. Or
so, Mike,
I'm excited about the pony.
Are like you in all, Central Park.
Are you at all concerned that you have one horse but two girls?
Well, and actually, the pony is for my friend's son, also, who visits him on occasion. And so it's three kids that will be sharing the pony. But I think there's plenty of pony to go. I hope there's not a pony controversy. No. I hope that there's one. I hope one pony is good enough for everybody.
It's too cliche.
And it's going to be. I know it is.
It's too cliche.
Well, the opportunity, like so many things in life, the opportunity presented itself. And when someone said to me, I have a horse farm, I will be able to keep the pony at my house. Would you be interested in going in on the pony, and I'll keep it at my house, and give him some money for the upkeep of the pony, to give the pony beer or whatever it drinks, and just stop over. I hope there's like a key to the barn, or I can drive onto the farm whenever I want. And Jim and I haven't discussed this, but he gave me directions, and we're going on a very long journey to pick up the pony on Saturday.
Girls,
that's the girls. Good morning. It's Daughter Day. Daddy's here. Hop into the car. It's time to go get your pony. I'm excited about the pony too. And if the pony is not already named Hershey, then I will come up with a different name for the pony. I will, like Seabiscuit or something like that. Something creative. Mr. Ed.
Let me ask you
something like that.
Question that a lot of people probably.
Yes.
Wouldn't
pony time? I'm getting a pony for my daughter.
But I'll ask.
Daddy's getting a pony. Yes.
Let's say.
Yes.
That you had stayed together.
Yes.
Would you still get your daughters a pony?
If this offer had presented itself, yeah, with this yeah. this offer was so good. Are you thinking? You think I'm doing this to? You think the pony is a symbol of my inadequacy?
No, and I'm not.
My feelings of guilt. My overwhelming feelings.
I'm not
of
busting
guilt.
Your balls. But
I understand.
It is the cliche.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Like a guy, you know. Oh Jesus! And talking about getting your balls busted.
The only reason, you know, really, I couldn't have gotten a pony unless this guy had this opportunity
well,
for me to do that.
My family, I never got a pony. I got a
horse. Did you want a pony when you were a kid?
No, never.
I didn't want a pony.
I did get a horse.
I wanted a mini bike.
I got a horse for my wife one time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That was
good
that
trade.
Was, that was short. Wasn't it?
That was good.
I only wish.
Oh, okay.
That
didn't last very long, did it?
No.
That was good eating.
No, it didn't.
It was the sauce.
But he made a great sauce. Little spicy.
Tangy.
That was good meat.
It was. Good horse.
Pony tartar. No, I'm not going to eat the pony. I won't eat the pony.
My wife and I, when we were having the big fight on Christmas
yes.
with our son, one of the things that my wife discussed was she said to me, you know, if we had two kids,
right.
this wouldn't be a big deal. Because everybody that has two kids tells her that if you have two kids, if one of them goes nuts on you, as ours did on Christmas.
Yeah, you focus on the other one.
You just focus on the other one.
Kind of what you do. You're able to do that. And the nice thing about having two kids that are close in age is they fight like all siblings do, but they're most of the time very close and they get along very well. I am hoping that there is no fight over the pony.
I have to ask you something.
Yes, go ahead.
I can't believe that I forgot to tell you this when we came back from vacation.
Yes.
When I was on the cruise with my mother and my mother-in-law.
Right.
My mother-in-law and her sister and Frida with all the old ladies. My wife's not old, but the other two are old ladies. One day the boat went to Cozumel, Mexico.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when I got off the boat, there, for the 30 seconds or so that I allowed my delicate tootsies to actually be on Mexican soil,
right.
which was, incidentally, everything I had hoped it would be.
Buenos dias, señor.
You know that dirty...
Ding dong diddly dee, señor.
That dirty adobe look everywhere.
Yeah, sure, right.
A man came up to me...
Like a scene out of the movie Traffic.
And he had a sign, and the sign said, Donkey Sex Show.
Yeah.
And,
oh, really?
And
I thought that was all made up.
For a moment.
Did you flirt with the idea of popping in?
I actually thought about it, and I walked over to the guy, and I said, what's the deal? And he said, $25. My car is right over here. I thank you. And there were, swear to God.
That car probably, you wouldn't have come back.
There was four regular-looking guys wearing a cruise the stuff, like wearing Hawaiian shirts.
You mean that were off the ship?
Yeah,
that we're going to the donkey section.
We're sitting in this guy's 4x4. So my question:
What are you getting at? Are you want me to do something with the pony?
Here's the thing.
What?
When your kids get tired of the pony,
right? Maybe you like do a little sideline.
Some animal sex shows.
No, not on your life. No
animal sex shows.
I don't know. No, if the money's right.
You bring it to the Look Around Cafe.
Yeah, and just would that be the great gimmick?
Right.
Fantastic, and of course it would star me. It would star me at the Look Around Cafe.
Sure.
Yeah, enjoy your Budweiser. The pony's in the back.
And God forbid when the pony passes.
Yes, of course. Well, then you go. Then my meat costs are diminished for that month.
That's silly. You would have him mounted.
Hello.
Centerpiece at the Look Around Cafe.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, you know, Mike's friend's kid and Mike's daughters and, hey, Mike's girlfriend. All the kids can ride the pony.
Nah, shut up.
Please stop that.
Shut up. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello. Are you there?
Apparently not.
Oh, he's gone.
That's right. Everybody wants a pony ride now.
He's gone. Well, my dream.
It's my kids and my friend Jim's kid. They're the only ones that are riding the pony.
My dream.
It's hello. My rule.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio guys.
Howdy.
What's going on?
Hey,
Mike.
Yes.
See the typical golden move. The typical move for the golden boy getting the pony for the girls, huh?
What, you mean you think it's a golden boy move? I don't think it's a golden boy
move. Get it
the no, it's the PCD.
Can I help it that I have the means to buy them a fabulous animal? No.
It's the PCD thing.
That's right.
The golden boy rides again.
It's not like I'm buying them a thoroughbred. It's a little pony. It's supposed to be beautiful, though. But you know what?
Good one, guys.
I can tell you already, it's a perfect pony.
Is it?
Yes, it's a pee-pee.
And you know, if you buy yourself a Polaroid camera...
Mm-hmm.
pay for itself in a few weekends at birthday parties.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture, Mike.
I'll do it like a side light. I'll bring the pony to other kids' parties. Sorry. You ever have a need, call Mike. I'll bring my pony out.
O'Mara's Pony Farm.
I'm going to let you, you know what? I will try to get a picture of the pony this weekend. And I'll bring in a picture of the pony.
Hey, we let us put it on the website?
I will let you put the pony on the website.
BBFK.com. That's,
absolutely.
That's great.
Get the pony to smile.
Yes, sir. Just what do they used to do with Mr. Ed?
Rubber. Well, they said it was rubber.
Chicken wire, maybe?
Rubber bands, chicken wire, and peanut butter.
Hello.
And I also understand it was, who's the guy who played Wilbur?
Alan Young.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was his hand.
Oh.
I will not be manipulating the pony.
You will not?
I will simply take a photograph.
You won't be like Paris Hilton?
No,
putting the big thing on. I'm not putting my hand in there. And incidentally, I don't know what it is about that show.
Yeah.
Like the moth to a flame. It's on last night. I go past it.
You know what I think it is? I think it's her.
I go past it, yeah. And I go, I've seen it, but then I keep going back, and I keep watching it over and over again.
I bet she got a pony.
Oh, you bet. I bet there is sex of her having. There is a rather photographs or.
Well, I mean, if you're looking for that, it's just her. I think she's easy on the end.
So you don't need a show.
Watch out for the white horse, Mike. Go easy on the white horse.
There's a pony on my back. I will take a picture of the pony, and I am, much like my daughters, I'm excited about the pony.
Good.
I just am a little worried about the trailer. Never done this before. I've never, you know. Now somebody's going to call
it up
me
on the outer loop. Now,
now somebody's going to call and tell me that I can't. You know that I need a special license to transport an animal.
You'll be fine.
Put it in the back of your car. Just put it in the back seat.
Use a car seat.
Make sure it's in the back seat because of the airbag. And if you need to borrow my polo mallet.
I think it's going to be fine. It's just going to be me, my daughters, my friend Jim, the pony, and we're going down to pick it up without a trailer in my Miata.
It should be fun. Anyway, that's Mike, and that's that. And oh, you heard this.
General manager of the Dummy Depot.
Wow, I'm just the worst of the buttons today. Tell Beverly, hold on to it.
Pony time, pony time. Daddy's got a horse. Oh, my. I'm excited about the play.
Now, we're playing this for a different reason.
Okay. I can't fit that many dogs and the pony in this Miata.
It'd be possible to give away some cash. We have not done this for the longest time, the bark offer cash.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's real, real simple. Real simple.
Now, that's not funny. That's not funny. That's right.
The horse lives.
And then we all spill out of my Cooper Mini.
With the pony. Oh, did you say the Cooper Mini? Like in the Bourne Identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Little Mini Cooper.
Listen, here's the deal. If you have a dog, you want to call the show right now.
How about a pony?
877-365-3636. Very simple. We'll give you 30 seconds, and for every time your dog barks, that we audibly hear your dog bark,
the nay-off for cash,
we pay you one American dollar. Mm-hmm. So you got the chance, who knows, to bug at 20 or 30 bucks. All we ask, you don't mistreat the animals.
No.
You know, but if you got to do that stuff where you talk like a retard, like, you know, who's a good boy? Sure. Who's a good boy? That's fine.
Right. Don't pull his tail.
The dog that barks the most gets the most money, and it's the bark off for cash. And we will do that. We come right back. Phone number is 877-365-3636.
Turn that manure into moolah.
Here we go. Girls,
it's pony time. Girls, pony time from the pot. I'm dad.
Uncle Dad.
Uncle Dad? The hell is Uncle Dad?
Uncle Dad is watching. I don't know what it means.
It sounds funny to me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Uncle Dad.
You're putting me in that Uncle Buck category. You know, like, there's a pony in the back of my smoking car.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts with the cloth, the skins kind of just fall off. You want to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off. But if you rub hard enough, most of the skin will pop right off the nut.
Yeah.
It's a simple way to do a lot of nuts
right.
in a short period of time.
The Don and Mike Show.
We will never speak of this again. The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow's episode, tomorrow, January 8th, it's Elvis's birthday.
Right.
Now, we don't do a giant Elvis show like we do on Elvis' death day.
No, we commemorate the passing of the king, not as much as his birth.
Right. But we'll have some of our Elvis stuff tomorrow.
Kind of our glass half-empty philosophy.
And I wanted to ask you, before we get to the bar golf of cash.
Yes.
Do you ever see a time when you're owning this pony
yes.
with your daughters where you get, you know, your daughters are not around.
Right.
And you're at home or you're at the barn and you're all effed up and you get on the horse.
Yeah.
And if you ever all effed up and you're on the horse,
uh-huh.
would you please have a bag full of hot dog rolls in your
staggered.
Hand?
And wear a big parka. with a cowboy hat, like Elvis used to do.
Because that's like one of my favorite Elvis stories
yep.
of all time.
Right.
Is that Elvis just got all effed up
uh-huh.
and barely could walk, could not move, but he got on his horse
right.
and would ride around in a circle. We'll probably read the story tomorrow.
During the break, there was a small glitch. It's not actually a pony that I'm getting. It's a Clydesdale.
Oh.
yeah. It's a small Clydesdale.
It's a big pony.
It's a baby
pony.
It's a baby Clydesdale. We're going to ride that thing until it grows.
A dwarf Clydesdale.
It's got cute little white socks on it.
I remember when Elvis would ride the horse, if the saddle wasn't on tight enough, he'd start leaning.
Yeah. Leaning to the left.
That's the best anyway.
You know, depending on the size of the pony, I might mount it.
Depending on your love life,
yes.
you might mount it.
Mount the pony, you know, maybe, you know, when it's dark.
You might mount it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someday on the show, we'll have to get back to the whole thing when I was in Mexico with the guy. I was just telling Mike and Rob during the
show. You know, if you saw it and you were on a cruise, you know there's somebody out there that's been to one of those.
Oh, yeah.
We got off the boat where there's all the stores and all the fast food and there's like taxis. And a guy with a piece of cardboard, kind of like half of a box, just says Donkey Sex Show.
Mm-hmm.
$25.
And I'm kind of glad you didn't get in that car.
Thought about it.
Maybe there are like three guys that went to the show that never came back.
On the phone now we have people and their dogs. So we're playing this dumb dog music. It's the bark off for cash. We'll give you 30 seconds. We will get to meet you, meet your dog. The dog that barks the most in 30 seconds. And you know it's the beginning of the year, so what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
What? We're going to go with a regular budget of $1 per bark.
$1 per bark. Your generosity astounds me.
$1 per bark. Let's, you know, we've not checked in with the decision maker since we've been back.
Mm-hmm. See if he wants to pop for this big expenditure.
Nah, hey, busy man, not here. Alan Linewand, general manager.
Kingmaker.
And Pennyman's not there.
Hi, this is Alan.
Come on, we just got to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Where's his voicemail? Alan! Is it possible his machine is all full?
It's possible.
I don't want to call him on a cell just to bust his balls about this.
I think you should.
What?
Call his cell.
Rob likes Alan.
They love each other.
I'm getting along.
All right, hold on.
You have?
No. They've not been getting along.
They didn't think that was possible.
Ay, stop it. Oh, okay. There we go. And stand by. We're going to play the game. We're just going to see if Alan will go more than a dollar a bark.
Right. Now, that sounded like it clicked over to some kind of voicemail.
No, that was Rob doing something with the phones here.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Where the F is this guy?
I hope he's okay.
He didn't go to any kind of donkey sex show recently, did he? Not that I know of.
Well,
he's not
no
reachable.
Answer.
Thanks again for your help, Alan.
No answer. Well, then, you know what? I'm gonna go on his... I'm going to do what Alan would want me.
Forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Alan, line one.
There.
Is not available.
That's all we wanted.
Yeah.
Tell him to record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
I don't even... Buzz, you leave the message. You tell them what we're doing. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. We are doing a bark for cash here, and we want to know if a dollar a bark is...
Say who you are.
This is Buzz calling on behalf
Use
of Don
your real
and Mike.
Name.
This is Mike Elston. Michael J. Elston calling, Alan. And we're playing Bark for Cash, and we were going to plan to pay a dollar per bark, but we were wondering if you'd be willing to pop for more than that.
How much more, Buzz?
Well, I'm thinking maybe, what, $5, $10 a bark?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. No, I was thinking like...
Seven?
$7.
I'm hearing seven, Mark.
$7 a bark?
$7 a bark.
I can't do that math.
$7 a bark?
Keep it at a buck, boys.
Okay.
All right, we're going to keep it at $1.01.
Very
even
good.
Though that's not our frequency, and that's like a radio thing to do.
$1.01.
It should be $1.06.
How about $1.06?
Right. Should be $1.06.
That's right. $1.06.7.
And Alan, Happy New Year. This is Rob.
There watch we out. Go. Look on the floor. There's a penny. Bye. All right, there he goes. Alan, line one.
Hi, this is Alan.
Who I had to remind again over the holidays, and I hate to remind him of this any time, but especially over the holidays.
Yeah. Yes.
We work together. Mm-hmm. We get along well
yes,
enough.
Yes, you do.
But we're not friends.
Occasionally they have to be reminded
have
of that.
Have to be told that.
All, you know, for anybody in the business, general managers and program directors mm-hmm. should always be reminded of that fact.
Oh, and the DJ that we spoke to yesterday about radio, the out-of-work DJ,
Danny Ocean.
Yes, he is sending his package along, right, Robbie?
Yeah, and you know what's funny is he asked me not to reveal, but I remember him when he worked here. I remember listening to him.
Wow.
So he's a very nice enough fellow, and he's sending his imaging tape along.
All right, so maybe that's a guy we can help find a job in the year 2004 on
very
the show.
Good.
And also tomorrow we'll have news about the sperm test that we're all taking.
Oh, dear.
To see who has the most active sperm.
All right. I've never been so nervous before a test.
There's no need to worry. We're just waiting for a female volunteer. And as soon as we find the female volunteer...
Could get sticky.
Then we're ready. Okay. Bark off for cash. Doing $1.06 for each bark.
Hi, Don, Mike.
Rob, you're in charge of the math on that. Hi there. What's your name?
Hello? Friend?
Yeah, hi. What's your name?
My name is Joseph. I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Joseph. Thank you for listening to the show. What kind of dog you got there?
She's a terrier.
A terrier.
And what's the dog's name?
Spot.
Spot. Is that really the dog's name?
I'm not kidding.
All right, we'll give you 30 seconds. We ask is, now don't like burn the dog or grab the
no
dog.
No animal
tail.
Abuse. You are not allowed.
But you can do anything you need to that's retarded.
You can abuse yourself to make your dog.
Yes. To do that. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Don.
30 seconds starts now. Go. You know what you don't know is that that's the sound of him hitting the dog in the head. You're going to hear it again here. Hold on.
Are we at 30, Don?
Oh, no, you got 5 seconds.
Okay, hold on.
There you go.
Okay.
25.
25, wow. Not bad.
25 barks for Spot.
Okay, Head. How much?
$26.50.
$26.50. All right, hold on.
Listen to the joy.
Hold on a second. We appreciate it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Gwen.
Gwen, where are you from?
Crofton, Maryland.
Right on. And your card? Your dog, I'm sorry.
Daisy.
What kind of a dog is Daisy?
Jack Russell.
Jack Russell.
Very smart animal.
Daisy.
Oh, Daisy.
30 seconds. Don't do anything to the dog. Although I'll say this.
Yeah.
If you're a lady
mm-hmm.
and you have an intimate relationship with your dog.
Yes, go for the cabinet. Get out the peanut butter.
If it's consensual, go ahead. 30 seconds. And go.
Go. Come here, Daisy.
This is like that crazy barking. It's the rat, 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 rat. Reminds me of listening to my wife on the phone. It's that cadence.
I'm done.
Rat, 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 rat. No, you got more time. Rat, rat, rat. Rat, 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 rat.
She said she was done.
There you go, Mike. Mike's counting them up right now.
42.
Yay!
42. Wow. 42.
I gave those little, I gave her that was credited.
I was saying that. I know you work on the counting and you concentrate on that. I was saying that. The, ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, kind of counts.
Ha, 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 ha. That's like four. Right?
Yeah. So she got 42 total.
Ha, 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 ha. Wow. Rob?
44.52.
44.52.
44.52.
We got to keep this thing right on budget.
Very good.
Hello.
That's going to be tough to beat.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
A Bark for Cash. Hi, who's this?
This is TJ.
TJ, where are you from?
Salt Lake City.
Right on. What kind of dog?
I have a Yorkie.
Hey, listen, does the weather suck there? I mean, is it snowing always and cold always now in Salt Lake City?
No, yeah, pretty much, I guess.
It is snowing and cold always.
It is.
What is your corgi's name?
My Roxy. I decided to switch dogs. I'm using Roxy.
Roxy. Hello there. Sure something, Murphy?
Hello there. My name is Roxy.
Roxy!
I'm going to Mexico to perform at a show. We'll give you 30 seconds, okay? Sir?
Yeah.
For some Roxy music.
30 seconds. Here you go. Love is the drug.
Yeah.
And go.
Okay. Roxy, come in. Come in. Get him.
No, come in. Certainly not against the rules, but I think he's doing the doorbell for you.
A lot of people do. Yeah. Very popular.
Come on, get him. Come on.
All right, he's halfway through.
Roxy, come on, get him.
And 5 seconds.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. You still got time. 28, 29, and 30. Wow, that's a lot of barking. Mike, how many? How many did you count there?
33.
Wow. 33.
Those weren't those half.
33. Either. You know what that means?
What?
You're going to have to put that dog down.
That's right. You weren't able to beat Daisy.
You're going to have to put that dog down. Hello, Don and Mike show. Bark off. Who's this?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Oh, incidentally, Rob, the last guy, if he won, he would have won.
$34.98.
Thank you.
Based on $1.06. Hi, Lisa, where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Right on, Live 105.
Yeah.
And your dog's name is?
Spanky, and he's a Lhasa Apso.
Oh, they are adorable. That's the as good as it gets dog.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Well, but I mean, that's the same kind of breed, right?
He's a train wreck of emotion, though.
But isn't that the dog that Jack Nicholson put down the garbage chute?
My kids have one of those dogs. I hate to bring it up again, but
are you kidding?
At my ex-wife's house, they have a Lhasa Apso. They have the
and
little Verdell kind of dog.
And they have a pony?
And a pony!
And a pony.
Dog and pony.
And a baby Clydesdale. Buzz just had the funniest little
dog and pony show. But you know, Buzz really has been over the last couple of years.
All right, 30 seconds for Spanky. Are you ready?
Okay, ready.
And go. This is hard to figure out. What's the dog and what's the woman? All I know is I find it sexy. Let it continue.
You know what?
What?
I counted 45 barks. I actually got them underneath the lady's howling. A total of 45 barks for Spanky.
Wow. Rob, how much is that if the jackpot was to end, and it's going to have to end soon?
$47.70.
So she's in first place?
She is the leader now with 45 barks.
Well, that deserves an emergency shout-out. Hold on, Lisa.
Way to go, Spanky.
Hold on. And how about Richard?
Richard,
get in touch with your feelings. Where's Richard? Hey, Dick, Richard.
Hey, Don, Mike, how's it going?
Going great, thank you for listening. Where are you from?
Baltimore.
Another Live 105.
Wow.
Now, you've got a lot of ground to make up. You're going to be the last person to play here. What kind of dog you have?
This is Rocky. He's pretty much a lab mix. He's got some pit and some rot in him, I think. He's kind of a big dog.
Oh, not a chance.
Okay.
Yeah, well, no. Get those little dogs.
No, you don't know.
Tough with the little dogs.
He gets them all riled up.
Yeah. Right. Let's see if Rocky can do it.
I'll throw him a slab of meat or something.
What part of Baltimore are you calling from?
North Baltimore, near White Marsh.
So I'm trying to think, what would be the most hated group out there? You know, I'm just thinking, would it be go get them those...
What are you talking about? the most hated group.
I'm trying to think. No, you're going to say if you're going to sick them on somebody,
right?
Who would you sick them on? I mean, do you have a bunch of vagrants, a bunch of hobos? Yeah, who's the hated group?
Have you been dreaming again?
No.
I'm just curious.
Probably
about
the Yankees. I don't know.
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
All right, yeah, sorry. This is the Yankees. You're an Orioles fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great offseason for the Baltimore Orioles, incident.
How about the Tennessee Titans? That, they just ran the Ravens out of town.
Can't you accept baseball?
All right, my friend. 30 seconds for Rocky. See, in my mind, I'm picturing the guy would say, oh, the Mexicans.
Well, you had that Cozumel thing on your mind.
Was dreaming.
Are you ready, Richard?
I think so.
And go.
Labs don't do well in this competition.
Wow. This guy...
performance anxiety. Come on.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Wow.
I don't think he has a dog.
We get that sometimes.
I think the owner may have to be put down.
Oh, wait, I heard one. Was that one?
No, I don't. That was another. I
think he farted.
And there you go. That's a big, look at that.
Oh, that's performance anxiety.
That's our very that's first goose egg.
That's
wow.
A loser.
Oh,
and Rob, how much was that?
Oh, let me get my calculator. Bagel.
Bye.
See you guys.
Goodbye. Listen, we are definitely out of time for this. Mike, let's review and see who we had here.
Yes, I'd like to thank Joseph and Spot. Spot had a total of 25 barks. Then we had Gwen with her dog Daisy, 42 barks for Gwen. TJ with Roxy, I think in Salt Lake City, had 33 barks. Richard with Rocky had zero. The only goose egg that was put up on the board. And the big winner with a total of 45 barks, Lisa and her Lasso Opso Spanky.
Yeah.
Spanky.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
Lisa, we've done the math. Your dog barked 45 times. $1.06 times 45 is $47.70.
Wow. $47.70. Great.
It's my birthday tomorrow, which I always look forward to your show because you do a great job with the Elvis shows. And we'll go out tomorrow on that. Man.
That's
thanks.
Wonderful.
Go to that $47, go buy yourself a couple of slices of cake.
Absolutely.
I was actually thinking about buying a couple bags of hot dog rolls and getting on my dog and riding off into the sunset.
That's wonderful.
Don't forget the peanut butter.
That's good. Thank you. Enjoy your $47.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you for listening. Hold on a second.
Sure.
That's the bark off thing.
You gonna get them all to bark like we used to.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's my favorite part. That's why I asked.
Robbie, would you conference? Let me see. We got to do. A lot of them have dropped off. We have line.
Sorry.
Hold on. No, we got enough, Mike. We got 2, 4, 9, 8, 10. Oh, and everybody will get a DVD copy of Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Wow.
The Cradle of Life prize pack. Order Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
In a world where only
the Cradle of Love tonight on Comcast Cable.
Tomb Raider.
In demand.
Found a way to bring good news.
Okay, we got him here. Everybody on
he made it up.
Let's see. Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, they need to put her on hold in the back room.
Put Lisa on hold, please, in the back room.
Darn it.
Okay, let's see who we've got. Joseph, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Don.
Donna, are you there?
Yes.
How about Phil?
I'm here.
Lisa.
That's a group.
Lisa?
Yeah.
And Ben?
Yes.
Some of these people didn't even get on the air.
Wow.
They didn't get on the air.
They didn't get on the air.
Mike, we got like 25 lines.
They're like dogs, but they're all with dogs?
All these people have dogs.
Wonderful.
And they're all going to get the Lara Croft thing if everybody would get their dog to bark at the same time.
I thought I had the big stroke.
Okay, ready? Go ahead, everybody. And now we just leave the microphones off. Just wait for it to end.
How do you not like this?
That reminded me about the big end.
This is always the big finish, though.
Yeah. See if they heat her out here. And are they done yet? They don't want to stop.
Yeah, they're great. I think the Labrador just woke up from its nap.
Come on.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from Beverly Hillbillies. Just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. Enough. Thank you, guys.
Make it stop.
Thank you very hard. Buzz?
Yes.
News and comments time. What is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Today, what's 55 years to a playboy? Hugh Hefner wants Britney Spears.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
In the grotto.
I'd like to take her to the grotto.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Champonfessional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The celebration has begun. In the Redskins Radio Sales Department, 106.7 WJFK.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. Taking you on a journey that you could not take on your own. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's give a couple of shout-outs here. Some of our affiliates in Las Vegas, KSFM, San Francisco, KYCY. I did say shout-out. Okay, Green Bay, WNFL, Des Moines, Iowa, KRKQ, and 106.7 WJFK, Washington, D.C. We're running ads every 5 seconds saying Joe Gibbs is back. And yes. I guess that's a smart thing to do.
It is. Yeah. That's all people are talking about here in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Everybody is so excited about Joe Gibbs coming back to coach the Washington Redskins.
And it's time for Buzz. Before we get to Buzz, though, do let me say that we mentioned him earlier in the show, Mike, from Channel 4, George Michael, a guy who we've had on... When's the last time George was on?
A couple of months ago.
Anyway, here he is.
George Michael.
Now, with a brief take about... The return of Joe Gibbs. Joe.
Oh, how you doing? This is George Michael.
I didn't get you?
No, not that time, no.
Not even me.
And you know, I'm kind of proud of that because that's the first time you tried in 2004.
Yeah.
So you
how you doing here? This is George Michael from Channel 4.
No. You're supposed to be Joe Gibbs. This is my fault. Never mind, Tommy. Tom?
Hey guys.
I just have one message to Tom, though.
Yeah.
Tom, let the bartenders at the Look Around Cafe do their work, please.
Tom come into your place?
No, it doesn't come any calls.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's time for Buzz's news show. Buzz is brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor?
Clinically tested. Doctor? Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers.
Hello?
Try it today. Viramax 1-888 Try VMAX. Yeah, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tom. How about that Joe Gibbs, huh?
Great. Hail to the Redskins.
Hey, Tom, how do you spell Gibbs?
G-A-R-B.
Right.
Garb.
Right. Bye, Tom.
No.
And now...
You, no.
Here, sorry.
No, I haven't been on at
I know.
All.
Gotta go. Here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Ah, the shame. Ah, I just got a little twinge of pain.
I'm bad.
I just heard it's hard.
Oh, God.
Every time a bell rings.
Now that Britney Spears is single again, at least one guy figures he has a chance. That guy is Hugh Hefner. She's 22.
I'd like to take her to the grotto.
He's 77.
Have my way with her.
And Hef already has his hands full with a handful of blondes, but the Playboy magazine founder says there is room for Britney.
We bring Britney upstairs into the master bedroom with the mirror on the ceiling, and I would bring her down to the grotto for sex.
Quoting Hef, Picasso had his pink period and his blue period. I am now in my blonde period.
And pink. I think Hef's always in his pink period.
I have been in the pink period for 55 years.
No, only since Penthouse went on the scene.
And the grotto.
Prior to that, there was none.
The grotto.
Mm-hmm. Hef says he'd like to see Britney naked in Playboy along with the not-so-blonde Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, I like to see her naked.
Yeah, quoting again, they really epitomize the kind of beauty we like in the magazine.
The beauty we like at the grotto.
I have to say something funny about Joe Gibbs.
Yes?
Who you know is hired as coach of the Redskins today. It's big news across America. You know, I hate Dan Snyder.
Do you?
And I've said earlier
you
today.
You said it. You've been public with it, but you gave him his props today.
I said earlier today, great move, especially since Gibbs is going to run the team, be the president of the team. Good. Then Dan, just sit in the corner with your money and just shut up.
Right.
Our producer, super producer, Charles Broyhill, said that he has placed a call to the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Since our radio station pays something like $4 million, $5 million a year to broadcast the games.
Yes, I think it would be only fair for Mr. Gibbs to come on this program.
And
The response, from what I've told, was less than sunny side of the street.
Ah, yeah. So they're holding a grudge.
Imagine that.
Who can blame them?
What did I say? What did I say? Boycott? Is that such an ugly word? And listen, who was right in the end, Dan? Me or you? Me! Because the guy you had either quit or was fired.
Right.
So you had to go out and hire a legend.
I think we should get him on the show.
Well, anyway, Charlie Broyhill's got some weird fantasy that Joe Gibbs will be calling our show tomorrow.
That'd be great.
And I said to him, not a chance. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. If the real Joe Gibbs calls our show tomorrow, I will cut off my penis on the radio.
That will be something to look forward
to.
That's
a promise.
That's fantastic.
Wow. I'll Lorraine Bobbitt myself.
That'll be great. Make sure it's a sharp blade so you're not in too much pain.
Well, right. There goes the contest.
And for God's sakes, not serrated.
Anyway, Buzz, I'm sorry.
No problem. Even though we're done with Britney.
Oh, okay.
Well, not entirely, actually. The magazines certainly aren't. Even though the marriage is already over, magazines are paying crazy money for the wedding photos.
Look what we done did.
Crazy!
Word is the pics are going for as much as $100,000 a piece, and two, maybe three magazines have already coughed up the dough. Us Weekly is one of them, and the Star tabloid, which is now no longer a tabloid as of this week, has a photo on its shiny new cover.
Here they are coughing up the dough.
Oh, dear. Incredible!
God, up, boys.
Crazy money.
Thank you.
People magazine won't comment, but don't be surprised if it has a photo, too. At least one of the shots was taken by another couple who also happened to be at the Little White Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas at 4 o'clock Saturday morning. Wonder if they're still married. Ah, just what the world needs, another Arquette. Friend star Courtney Cox Arquette and her goofy husband David have confirmed the rumors they're about to be parents.
Oh, and that means that one of the world's last beautiful female specimens. Well, not only... Well, she's been ruined anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as she married that hump.
Because she's had him climb on top of her.
Right, that goofball.
But now, can you imagine the mongoloid... She got down in the oven.
Mommy, daddy's a clown.
Me love daddy's movie, Eight-Legged Freak. Jesus.
Courtney's had a few miscarriages, but is now expecting her first child, apparently with the help of in vitro fertilization. The struggle to have kids has been reflected in her TV character, who's adopting a child.
I wonder how strong David Arquette's sperm is. Obviously strong enough to get the job done.
Yes,
but
yes.
But we're going to have our sperm tested on the show in the next couple
of days. Yes, we are. You've got sperm on the brain.
Courtney's 39. David's 30.
Do I? Where? I want to wipe it off.
Oh, God. Something about Mary.
Here's the tissue. The struggle to have kids has been reflected. Courtney's 39. David's 32. They've been married for 4.5 years.
And it's 4.5 years of pure bliss.
That's right. And
you know, I'll say this about those two.
Uh-huh.
They do seem to love each other.
Yeah.
And I've seen them on TV shows together where she seems very well put together and packaged and very articulate.
Right.
And she's beautiful and she appears to be smart and knows she's a TV star and knows that it's going to end.
And meanwhile, he's in the corner playing with his own BM.
Yeah, he's playing pocket pool.
Right.
But she, I guess, loves him.
Whatever it is, I'm glad this pregnancy is going to put some weight on her. Have you seen how skinny she is lately?
Yeah, she's too skinny. Yeah.
It's spooky.
Scary skinny.
She's ill.
And if you watch an old Friends...
When she's real fat.
You can see... you know what? I don't like the flashbacks when they make her fat.
Oh, they make her fat because she's so
Monica.
Skinny. It looks stupid.
Like Nutty Professor fat.
Right. Yeah.
But it is funny to look at... Who's the one good guy?
Matthew Perry.
Yeah, right. And I get him... How you doing?
That's
right.
Joey. Right.
Matthew Perry, if you watch the reruns, well, you know this if you've seen him, he goes through his the phases with the pills.
Right, yeah. The Vicodin phase.
He looks as anorexic or whatever the word is, as Courtney Cox does. Right.
And he had his fat period, too.
Yeah, right.
His real fat, and then he got real skinny. That's when he was doing the drugs.
And incidentally,
and then when he had the phlegm in his throat.
I know it's been out there the whole time that the show's been on the air, and I'm really not a fan of the Friends show. I mean, I watch it sometimes with Frida.
That's what you call it,
the Friends show.
The Friends program.
I know that I'm the last to the party. I'm the idiot of the universe. But I laugh when I say, How you do it.
You like that part.
Oh, I like it. And it's...
I like it a lot.
I like it so much. God, I can't believe... I'm hitting myself. I shouldn't be saying this. I may actually watch
the new Matt LeBlanc show next
Joey
fall.
Show.
Yeah.
Because of all the friends...
Right.
How you doing? He's got to be the one that I like the most.
Yeah. So you like the Village Idiot on Friends.
The funniest.
You were lucky to grab onto that catchphrase because that's the one we're going to have for a long time.
How you doing?
Yeah. How are you doing?
And don't forget his fantastic film career, that movie he made with the monkey.
Ed.
Lost in Space.
You knew it.
How you doing? And I know I'm the last guy. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it to somebody over the holidays. Like, how you doing? How you doing? And they looked at me like, huh? That was like friends ago, five years, friends ago. And I'm like, I just saw him do it a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, it'll probably be a hit. I mean, look at the success of According to Jim.
Which,
good still point. A juggernaut.
Yep. Which is beating shows like 20, last yeah. night, I swear to God, last night, Frida and I are getting ready to watch 24. Mm-hmm. She's watching whatever dribble is on ABC, but before 9 o'clock, some dumb sitcom, Kelly Ripa's show, something like that. I said, turn on 24. Mm-hmm. Now, According to Jim, had already started.
Yeah.
And my wife said, I'm only going to turn on 24 because you like it.
Uh-huh.
I said, wait a minute. If given a choice, yeah. She said, oh, yeah.
According
yeah.
to Jim?
Yeah, because... And here's the thing that my wife can finally realize now after all this time we've been married.
Because he's handsome?
No. Well, of course. She worked yesterday.
Right.
She worked a full day.
Right.
When she came, she worked, I think, 10 mm-hmm. to 6 yesterday. Mm-hmm. So by the time she got home last night, she was so tired of dealing with BS, she just wanted to sit down in front of the television and just watch anything.
Right.
And her rationale is, because of that... The Jim Belushi show is okay.
Something light.
Because it doesn't challenge her in any way.
Right.
And I want to scream at her. This is why I need these guys with the mommy book again. I want to scream at her. This is what I told you the whole time we've been married. When
right.
I come home at night, it's not that I'm unsociable, which I am, and lazy, which I am, and an ogre, which I am. But it's when I get home, I just want to de-stress and just turn something on. Now, I'm not like her. I can always find something on that I truly like.
Mm-hmm.
But she last night was really committed to this Married with Jim thing. And said, well, all right, we watched 24. And she,
so what you're saying really is that the success of According to Jim is based on quitters.
Mike?
People that are really just wet ready to check out of life.
Thank you for crystallizing my thought.
Most welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, because she didn't watch 24. She didn't want to watch it last night.
Right.
She said on more than one occasion, I'm only watching this because you like it. I said, well, okay, thanks for doing me a favor.
If things continue on this track, 24 could be funnier. According to Jim.
And you got a whole, like, just legion of people watching According to Jim with bugs flying into their mouth.
I thought that Kelsey Grammer was the world's leader at taking his shirt off.
Right.
But every time I see a promo for According to Jim,
mm-hmm. yeah.
he takes his shirt off. And not that Kelsey Grammer's got a great body.
Yeah.
But why does, you know, if Jim Belushi... Dude, keep your shirt on.
Oh, man.
You know, that's what I look like when I take my shirt off. I know. If you want to know the body I have, look at Jim Belushi. That's me.
That's just making me want to take a Pepsi.
That is the key to sitcom success.
That's it.
Yeah, just be a fat guy and take off your shirt.
Well, you know, go back with All in the Family. I used to think that about it would be with Sally Struthers.
Do you know that I had somebody...
Gloria, take your shirt off.
Do you know that I had somebody say to me... Sometime when we were on vacation, it must have been, I think it was at a, I know where it was. It was a neighbor's house, uh-huh. a Christmas Eve party, uh-huh. people from out of town, and we just met them. They were like brothers or sisters of some neighbors, and we're making small talk and having this eggnog that was just supercharged, like you had a sip of it and you're drunk, and everybody was letting their guard down, and one of the people came over and said to me, a woman said, it's so nice the way that you and your wife are together and with your son, and it's so nice, and it's almost like you guys are so funny that you're almost like one of those couples on TV where you have the really beautiful wife and she stopped herself. Because what she was going to say was the dumpy husband, the dumpy, fat, stupid husband, you know, which is like, really, when I'm watching that Jim Belushi show mm-hmm. last night, for the brief moment I did watch it, you take his face off and put my face on,
mm-hmm.
I got a TV show.
So when she said that to you, did you smack her?
No, I scratched my nuts.
It walks away.
Scratch my nuts.
Christmas so Eve on According to Don.
My hand down the front of my slacks.
Took your shirt off.
Scratch my nuts. Mike, Someone, is this from Joe? Someone, you know, we shouldn't have computers at work because someone has taken a picture of you and put the picture of you with a cowboy hat on a horse.
Oh, no.
Holding a bunch of hot dog buns like Elvis Presley, and there it is now.
Artist Conception. Okay, yeah, three. My pony. Wonderful. That's a real horse.
There you go.
That's beautiful. I love people.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I think Joe did that.
Yeah, Joe probably did that.
Someday, Mike, a real horse. Someday.
Someday.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
The show, according to Jim, I believe, is stealing a page from Friends because so many people used to watch Friends to see Rachel's rack, her nipples, and her sweaters.
I have heard that it's the lady
the
that's
on the show.
Uh-huh. And last night I was watching it by default because, of course, I don't appreciate the show either. And the wife on According to Jim has a sweater and her nipples just poking through.
Courtney Thornsman? You know, you've drawn me to the show now.
She's hot.
It's amazing. And they're not where I expected them. As I was working my man in anticipation of the nipples poking through the sweater, they were not where I...
You're getting your jerk on while you're watching According to Jim?
I might be embellishing the story for the show.
There you go.
Please play along.
All right. Thank you. Get out of here. Buzz, one more before a break.
Okay, a little more baby news. Goldie Hawn, just in this evening, Goldie Hawn's daughter is a mother. Kate Hudson and her husband, Chris Robinson, have become parents of a baby boy.
That's you know what that is? It's another TSV. Tragically stretched vagina.
Oh,
that's another RV.
And she's one of you're a big fan of.
Hey, Hudson, you bet your ass.
Yeah, right,
that's a ruined vagina.
Writer Russell Robinson was born this morning in L.A., weighing in at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. It's the first child.
8 pounds, 11 ounces?
8 pounds, 11 ounces.
That's where you got to say, really, that there's some kind of miracle, because there's just not enough room for 8 pounds, 11 ounces to come out of that spot.
Elasticity.
It's the first child for both Hudson and Robinson, and it makes Goldie Hawn a grandmother for the very first time.
Man, that's a hot grandma.
Unofficially, it also makes actor Kurt Russell a grandfather, even though he's not Kate's biological dad. Kate and Chris have been married 3 years. He, by the way, has just become lead singer of a new band made up of former members of Guns N' Roses, the Black Crows, and Stone Temple Pilots.
I guess the real grandfather would be the Hudson brothers, right?
Yeah, one of the Hudson, one of those goofy
no,
Hudson brothers.
Well,
yeah.
That's all three of them. Mike.
One square.
All of their seed.
Buzz, what is next?
The revenge of the lottery loser.
Oh, right. We had this story yesterday. Yes. Okay, we got more news today.
Yes,
all right.
We do.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Here's Radio 156, Headline News.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Drink your mead, but in moderation. No man is called discourteous who goes to bed at an early hour.
Right.
Just ask Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Just ask us. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Shocker. The Ohio woman who told police she'd purchased and then lost the winning mega lottery ticket has a criminal past. Her 10-year-long rap sheet, according to SmokingGun.com, includes convictions for assault, menacing, and... credit card fraud.
Oh, dear.
This is the same broad that was on TV on Monday crying, getting the police to believe her.
Yeah, yeah, but pure evil.
Saying, I had the ticket, it's my kid's birthday.
And I love the reaction of the lady that was the actual winner. Yes. I mean, she handled it perfectly.
Well, the Smoking Gun says it's also learned that the woman who claims she lost the ticket is using an alias and has falsely claimed to be married to the man with whom she now lives. Alicia Dixon has apparently borrowed the surname of boyfriend James Battle, even though she's still legally married to Keith Dixon.
Oh, boy.
Quoting Keith, after 13 years with her, my wife can stretch things out of proportion. Looks like she filed a bogus police report. She had also lied about playing his age, 49. He's actually 44.
There you go.
Police say she was so convincing that she rattled off these numbers and why she chose them so quickly, and that she was just in tears and just beside herself, that they were convinced that she had the ticket and actually lost it.
You have to give her some credit, at least for chutzpah, for balls.
Oh, she's got balls.
Maybe it's stupidity, but to go in and convince the cops that you're such a hard luck story.
Right.
That there's no way this is so incredible. It couldn't be made up. It just couldn't be. You got to believe her.
She had chutzpah.
And then she's lying.
And she still has the chutzpah because now she is suing the lottery officials to block the payment to the woman who is figured to be the winner.
And about the woman who won, the amount that she won in the lotto was $162 million.
Right, that's correct.
She opted for the lump sum.
And after taxes, she'll take the cash, please.
$67 million.
Yeah.
So it's like, consider that $162 million, which blows your mind.
Can't even picture
I mean, really,
that.
When you get done with that lump payment and then the taxes, there's just nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You're supposed to make ends meet on $67 million.
Especially after the pony is taken care of.
It's a lot. Rob, for that kind of money, two ponies.
It's a lot of carrots.
Two ponies.
Ponies.
Girls, Daddy bought you a unicorn.
It is your unicorn. It cost me $67 million.
It's surprising hearing that women deserve to be smacked around from a judge.
Rob Stewart!
You're here!
But 50-year-old Judge Robert Hamley of upstate New York did say that. He also said that most domestic abuse cases are a waste of the court's time.
Hamley!
He's now resigned under pressure after telling a state trooper that most women enjoy being abused and saying that they ask to get smacked around. His words.
Wow.
Every 9 seconds in this country, a woman is assaulted by her partner, and in the state of New York, 4 of those abused victims die every week.
What a great guy he is.
Wow. 24-star Kiefer Sutherland.
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
What a great guy he is.
Okay, that's the judge.
24-star Kiefer Sutherland says he gave up marijuana at the age of 18 because it ruined sex for him. Quoting him, he was with a girlfriend, and I got really stoned, and my mind started drifting, thinking about what I had to do the next day, when I had to be to work.
Previously.
Wondering what my parents were doing.
Previously on 24.
Previously on weed.
I thought about everything except sex, end quote.
The only thing I couldn't focus on was my penis.
Sutherland tells Playboy that once he got his mind back on track, quoting again, I thought, God, I'm going to kill this person. I'd better complete.
My mind's back on track.
Previously in sex.
Well, unfortunately for the young lady, Kiefer says he looked up at the TV to notice that it had all happened during a 2-minute commercial break. He felt differently about cocaine, however. Quoting Kiefer, I liked the ceremony, the ritual of preparing cocaine. I did it for a year and stopped. Now I feel the same way about cooking.
Oh, dear. Very honest lad.
Yeah. Hold on. We got to peek inside. Because he loves the pomp and ceremony of it.
Yes, he loves the ceremony and the ritual.
Kiefer Sutherland. Here he is.
He's bringing out the baggie.
He's got his scale.
Now he's producing a razor blade.
There you go. Roll up a dollar bill.
That thing that looks like a bullet.
But remember, no weed. No weed. It makes me no good in the sack.
Previously on my drug flashback.
But I like having you when I'm having coke at CTU.
Only 2 speeds for Kiefer.
Maybe you remember the uproar last summer about summer camps for teenagers at nudist resorts. They've actually cropped up around the country, especially in Florida, but there was even one here in Virginia.
It's about time. This has been an issue that I've been at the forefront of.
Well, we were very excited last year about taking that puppetry of the penis show on the road.
Whitetail Nudist Resort had a special week for teens last June.
Whitetail.
Get it, Whitetail?
And that's legal, so long as there's no lewd behavior, and the resort says there wasn't. It says it was strict about that. But that will never happen again if state lawmaker Jack Reed has anything to say about it. He's sponsoring a bill that would ban, in his words, kids running around naked without their parents there.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, operations director. Don't blame me.
There he is. There's the camp director.
Oh, but social...
Ass play.
Oh, no.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, operations director. Don't blame me.
Ass play.
But social nudity is right with God, according to the Florida man opening the world's first Christian nudist colony near Tampa.
Oh, my God.
Quoting him, the Bible very clearly states that when Adam and Eve were in right with God, they were naked. When people are right with God, they do not have to fear nudity. Nudes in the news.
Nudes. 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 And Jesus said,
you are right with Jesus and you are naked.
Look at those breasts.
As much as we like...
Look at that lovely vagina. The way God intended it. Tight! It's tight. Unlike
who's it that's
Kate Hudson?
Unlike Kate Hudson,
and Courtney Cox Arquette,
stretched out, and Jesus coming to me now and talking about your eardrums,
amen,
and your vagina.
I can hear you, and I can't see you. Right?
As much as we like the Irish rock band U2, the NFL says Bono may not talk about how the world AIDS crisis is during the Super Bowl halftime show. They didn't mind the group's halftime tribute to 9/11 victims in the 2002 game.
Oh, bloody good.
But NFL officials say they want entertainment this year, not flogging for causes, no matter how worthy.
Flogging. It's the bloody.
They did allow Bono to duet with J-Lo at last year's game in a song about the African AIDS crisis.
Where's my favorite candy?
What kind is that?
My gummy bears.
Hey, you know what else is bloody?
What's that?
What's that lady's tampon that Prince Charles wanted to be?
Oh, that's right. Camilla Parker Bowles.
Her tampoon?
His tampoon. It's bloody good. Oh, man, I could sure use a piece of goom.
This year's 12-minute show with a price tag of $8 million is sponsored by AOL. The league does plan to send players with Bono.
I've got terrible heartburn. Where are my tombs? I need my tombs.
And Bono, I understand you're going to Africa with some NFL players next year to try to call attention to the crisis there in that country.
That's really good, Buzz. Yeah. You come along with us, okay? We can play the stadiums together, and I can just pull back my greasy hair.
Are you taking some of the books with you?
Yeah, we're taking lots of them. But you can come too. There's plenty of rum.
No, books would be bucks, right?
Books.
Yeah. Bucks would be books. Let me see. What's another one that would work?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming.
Detroit Lions, no Chicago Bears, no St. Louis Rams, no Washington Redskins, no Dallas Cowboys, no New York Giants, no Philadelphia Eagles, no San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, Johnny Unitas. I'm sorry. That's all I got. Bloody hell.
Bon Jovi, meanwhile, is flogging for the AFL, the Arena Football League.
Fluging.
He and John Elway are in a 2-minute commercial that'll run in some movie theaters this month. Both men own teams in the indoor league, which opens its 18th season next month. Bon Jovi owns the Philadelphia Soul. Elway is co-owner of the Colorado Rush. The ad's being shown in theaters owned by the Regal.
Will you watch it?
Cinemedia, Chase.
The Rush.
The games?
Of course I will.
AFL games?
Yeah. Of course I will.
Start next month.
And, hold on, what is this, Rob?
I was going to ask if they're that movie they made.
Rob wants to know the movie that was made
with Elway and I just read Bon Jovi. Yeah,
Fred. Rob wants to know if there's frontal nudity in that movie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't get it. He gives me a note like not for on air. Just like, sure. Do you think there's frontal nudity?
And it's one of his random thoughts, and I don't want to even get involved with that.
Frontal nudity in what?
The two of you. Are you talking about NFL players, whether there's nudity?
John Bon Jovi and John Elway.
Right.
Just as long as you know it's not an offer.
Oh, that's too bad, because I responded.
Oh, okay.
If radio is theater of the mind, the curtain never went up on this show. Democratic presidential hopefuls engaged in a debate last night on National Public Radio. Wannabe Dennis Kucinich brought along a pie chart to talk about government spending. Pie charts don't play well on radio.
Yeah.
When asked about this, Kucinich says he brought the chart for the benefit of rival Howard Dean.
Wonderful.
Courage, Dan Rather.
I wrote...
Wasn't he mayor when the river caught fire?
Yes, he was.
So Rob wrote frontal nudity.
Uh-huh.
Right,
yeah.
Then he wrote frontal nudity ?
Right.
And then I wrote... When?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that was a private message between you two.
And he just,
you didn't think he was referring to any news story. You just thought he was making you an offer.
Just because the end of the show is closed.
He just gave the note to me. So now in totality, it reads, frontal nudity from Rob. And I write when, and Rob writes, always.
Yeah, you two are getting closer and closer.
I know.
And it's getting dangerous.
Jesus Christ.
In sports, the Hall of Fame coach who led the Washington Redskins to a trio of Super Bowl titles is coming back to D.C.
Yeah,
we're going to get that applause.
Yeah. Washington Post says Joe Gibbs, who'll be on the show tomorrow before Don cuts off his thing, reached a tentative contract agreement with the team today.
Way to go, Snyder. Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn occasionally.
Fantastic news for Redskins fans.
Don't F it up, Shorty.
Gibbs will continue his NASCAR work and reportedly continue with the Skins even after his coaching days are over. And by the way, the Arizona Cardinals have hired Dennis Green as their new head coach.
Very good.
Finally.
Good luck.
And the Giants got, what, Coughlin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Coughlin.
Mm-hmm. Finally, men have a tendency to overestimate the length of their snakes. A zoo claiming to have the longest snake ever captured may have been exaggerating. Zookeepers in Indonesia claimed their reticulated python was 49 feet long, but a reporter measured it at only 21 feet. The actual record is 33 feet. When confronted with this, the zookeeper said he didn't know how his snake got smaller.
Zookeeper. My snake's 21 feet long.
And the zookeeper says he doesn't know how the snake got smaller.
I'm the zookeeper.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
The zookeeper says he doesn't...
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
These two sentences just have to go together.
But just say the ZK, because when you say the word...
You're going to set... I set off the alarm when I do that.
When you say the word...
The zookeeper. In the
morning. Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
When confronted with this, a guy at the zoo...
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
Okay. All right, let me try it. Let me take a run and get this.
Never mind. Go ahead, Buzz.
When confronted about this, a guy where they keep the animals...
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
I didn't even say zoo. Anyway, the guy says he doesn't know how the snake got smaller. Maybe it was cold.
Oh, yeah.
There
I'm
it is.
Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No! No!
Yeah, that's it.
No. Wow, God, no.
We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Oh, Elvis' birthday show tomorrow.
All right.
So we'll have that and other stuff. What are you doing? I heard that.
My stapler.
You're clicking a stapler over there.
Sorry about that.
For goodness sake. You're like on a crazy morning zoo show. In the morning. Oh. All right, that's it. Hello. You owe me again.
Hi, Scott Shannon.
That's it. Got to go. See you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. And well.
You listen to that album.
BM.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight.
Well, thanks
and let me leave you swinging.